Live, pal.
Always live, pal.
We're live, bro. We're live. Hey, guess what?
What?
We're live.
Are we?
We're so live.
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
All right, well, it's episode 514 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and we have... a hell of a show for you tonight.
Ooh,
here.
Language, jeez.
Don't start with the language bullshit, all right?
What? How dare you?
No, don't get me started. Brody King from Ring of Honor joins us tonight at 7:30. Plus,
motherfucker, yeah!
Plus, there was wrestling this week, and there was not as much. There was no MLW this week. Impact ran like a best of. AEW did a tribute show. None of us watched Raw or SmackDown.
That's right.
But there was Wrestle Kingdom. And picks. And so much fun. And I have news. I have notes. Kevin has a list. Tony has games. And it's all next here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network. Broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is the New Weapon Show, Jerry Lynn, and you're listening to the Shining Wizard Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 514 of the Shining Wizards. Of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt. Oh, now we can't hear Kevin.
Kevon.
There he is.
Abu. Oh,
excuse me, I'm almost dying over here during the intro. Welcome everyone live on Facebook watching along. Welcome to everyone listening on the rant, rantemradio.com. Welcome to everyone listening to us in download form because we love you guys just as much. Boys, what's going on?
Not much. How was your New Year's?
Oh my God, I'm dying. Very quiet, very low key. It was just me, the wife, and the boy just watching the, I don't know, did the ball even drop? I guess it did. The wife always makes me watch that New Year's Rockin' Eve nonsense. But we spent a lot of time just playing video games. And when the ball dropped, we sort of watched that for a minute and then went back to playing video games. How about you guys?
I worked. And then one of Rhiannon's friends rented out a bar for like eight people. Eight. Not like 80. Eight.
Wow.
Like a snowman. So we went there for like an hour. And then we were home by like 10 o'clock and watching The Twilight Zone. And I didn't watch any balls drop. I don't care about fucking Ryan Seacrest or whatever hot fucking garbage you had to watch. I watched The Twilight Zone. And then when I heard the fireworks going off outside, I was like, oh, it must be the new year. So that was how I celebrated.
Yeah, I slept.
Sounds about right.
I went to bed at like 7 o'clock. I woke up. I set my alarm for like 11:50. Watched the ball drop with Daddy-O, and then went back to bed. So there it is, folks.
Sounds like you have a very very strange sleep schedule, Kevin.
It's awful. It's the absolute worst. Because my, especially now, like my work schedule changes with COVID every like other week, it changes. So like today I went back after the lockdown, after 2 weeks. So like I'm staying up to like 4 or 5, then like it's so bizarre. And then, so now I got to be at work at 7 tomorrow, which I don't know how I'm going to do it. But after not sleeping at all last night.
Sounds like you're in some rough shape, buddy. I also did not sleep at all last night, but for completely different reasons.
That's right.
Which, very surprising, the amount of people who actually stayed up to watch Wrestle Kingdom last night.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I was looking at the chatter on Twitter, and yeah, quite a few people actually pulled an all-nighter on that one. You think it might have been easier because it was a Sunday night going into a Monday?
I don't know.
How would that make it easier? People got to go back to work.
Take Monday off. You parlay it from the holiday.
All right. See, that's the thing. But normally people parlay the days prior, not the days after.
Well, it depends. Look, you got to remember now, this is the wrestling community, and anyone who has done this before knows they're going to need a couple days. So they probably worked through the new year if whatever business they worked for was open, and then probably took off today, tomorrow, maybe Wednesday as a day just to recoup. But, you know, we were chatting it up with a bunch of people. Kate was trying to stay awake. I know she bounced out about 4:30 or so. LSG, Tony Deppen, Anthony Bowens was talking to them all night. Dickinson was watching. Ton of wrestlers were watching. The West Coast people, they had it better because the 2 a.m. start time for the Rumble here was 11 there. So, you know, props to them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little easier.
Congratulations for living 3,000 miles that way.
Well, apparently, the people in the UK get it at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
That sounds about right. Yeah, 7 or 8 in the morning, something like that. Yeah.
Because they say the AEW and WWE shows usually drop, if you watch it live, it's like midnight over there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Guess it sucks to be them, huh?
I mean, if you're watching AEW, yes. WWE, I mean, you do it to yourself if you decide to stay up to midnight to watch a dumpster file, a bunch of raccoons lighting a dumpster on fire.
Yes, a dumpster file.
Dumpster on
the computer, like the recycling bin.
That's the sequel to X-Files. It's the dumpster files. Instead of aliens, they just research hot garbage.
Hot garbage and sizzling.
So I fucked myself up yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I stayed up real late Saturday night. with the plan being I was going to sleep in Sunday. And then, because our work schedule has been all kind of wonky too. So I've been staying up to like 3 o'clock every night, just because watching TV, watching documentaries, playing video games, watching wrestling. But I woke up real early yesterday and I was like, fuck. So then I decided I was going to go looking for some AEW figures. And I was unsuccessful. I threw 0 for 3, 3 Walmarts, nothing.
Well, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Do you know this? I'm not sure if you know this. AEW figures, you probably do know this because you're a maniac, a controlled maniac when it comes to figures, that AEW figures are now available in Target.
Really now? This is news to me.
Because Walmart had an exclusive contract for 1 year. So they're going to start showing up on pegs and Targets now too.
Oh, okay.
So I know we got a couple near us, one in right near your old abode in Parsippany, and one in East Hanover, and so
all right yeah. That's good, because the Walmart in Rockaway is right around the corner from a Target, so I'll be doing double duty there.
I have a question for you guys, totally switching topics.
Yes.
But I was like, I don't know how this came into my head, and I don't know if we've ever discussed it, but I was thinking of like podcast names, and I was like, you know, we got a really good podcast name. Like, The Shining Wizards is a really good podcast. And I was thinking, like, was there ever a time when you guys first started the show? What were the other names that you guys batted around? Or was it just Shining Wizards or Bust?
that was pretty much it. And it just came to me, and it was just like, it's kind of a play on words, and we just ran with it.
So it was the name Shining Wizards in your head before the idea of like of the podcast?
No, it probably just came to me, if I recall correctly, where it was like, hey, we're going to do a wrestling podcast. Let's come up with something creative. I was like, well, Shining Wizards. It's a Shining Wizards, a move. Wizards, you know, it is a character. Just kind of worked. I mean, there's nothing more to it. I'm sorry.
You get tagged in like a lot of. No, that's fine. It's just that we get tagged in a lot of other podcast posts on like Twitter and on Instagram. And I was just like thinking, like, what are like some like really good podcast names? And what are just some like kind of just like lazy ones?
There was one that I found a couple of weeks ago, and I texted it to Matt. He's like, why are you texting me this? I'm like, because this is a genius name, and I forgot what the fuck it was. You don't have any recollection, do you? Recollection?
No. I do not have any recollection of that. I don't know, man. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Sorry.
It's okay. I gotta worry about the wizards.
Well, of That's course. Right. I mean, I didn't ask you to worry about these people. I just thought there was a hell of a name. That it was pretty creative and pretty clever and all that nonsense.
I mean, there's a couple of them out
and
there.
I never.
Not all at once.
I knew that like I just never knew if it was ever discussed. Like if like Tony reached out to Matt and Matt was like, you know what? What about this? Or Tony was like, what about this? I have these. Like, what? Like.
You don't remember of any of that happening, do you, Matt?
I don't. I shoehorned myself into the podcast, so I don't know if there was ever a conversation about what it should be called.
That's right. Forgot about that. All right. Anyway, that was Kevin's aside to kick off the hot episode of The Wizards. First one of 2021, by the way.
Yeah, that's wild. When you guys were saying, when Matt said, how was your New Year's? I was like, holy shit, this is the first one of the year, isn't it?
Sure is.
Pretty wild.
It is. We're going big or going home with Brody King, baby.
Speaking of going big, don't we have something to tell all of our listeners out there for the month of January? Not our usual Twitter contest, which is going off like gangbusters each and every week. You have a chance to win. Just fucking like the show, like the Wizards podcast on Twitter and retweet the tweet that's got to be the tweets. You got a chance to win a box of wizardry. How cool is that? We got lots of winners under our belt already, and we got a lot more to give away. Stay tuned, but we got a special giveaway, don't we?
We do. For the month of January, if you go to manscaped.com and you use the code word wizards and you send us a screen cap or you email us the receipt, we will enter you into our monthly drawing. We will give away a fantastic box of wizardry with the addition of an AEW Kenny Omega figure still in box. That I have sitting under the desk next to the Edgehead one that I have to give Kevin, which did I give that to you?
No.
Why not?
And I have your shark figure right here in the background that I still have to give to you.
There we go. So. We'll do a little Trayski. But yeah, right. So if you use the code word wizards at Manscaped, you don't have to spend $70. If you buy a bag of crop mops, and you use the code word wizards and you save 20% and you screen cap it and you send it to us to show proof of purchase in the month of January, you're entered into the drawing. And then at the end of the month, we're going to pick a winner. And that winner is going to get this Kenny Omega figure. Series 1, AEW, Kenny Omega, the cleaner. The AEW world champion. No championship belt. Apologies. And a bunch of other shit. I got tons of stuff. I still have trading cards. I still have stickers from Jedi Jack Yeti. I got Cheap Shot. Beer koozies. I got this awesome Minoru Suzuki one. Right?
Happy Hanukkah.
Recycle your fucking empties. Boom. My man, Minoru. So we're going to do that. We're going to try and push a little Manscaped for you and give a little something back to you. In addition to the 20% and the free shipping, you could win a free AEW figure, which, as you heard before, they are next to impossible to find in stores. It's happening, but not as often as I would like it to happen because I am in the chase. I have received my Chris Jericho chase figure. I took second place in fantasy football. So that money went to a Cody chase figure.
Of course.
Which I found for the cheapest I've seen online. So I'm very excited about that. So I have all of Series 1 now. I have the UK Cody. I have the Blood Brothers. Yeah, the UK Cody in a, that came in the UK ring.
Does he have a UK neck tattoo instead of his American Nightmare tattoo?
No. He has a different weight belt, different pants, and different skin tone.
Different skin tone?
Yeah, it looks better than the original one.
Oh.
That's the way they're going.
It's more tan, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I'm very excited about that. And, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm having fun over here in my figure collecting.
I told him in the text, I'm like, God, you're out of control. And you're like, no, I'm not. And then like 5 minutes later, like you were like, oh, you're right. I am kind of a loose cannon here. It was so funny. The 180 that you did, not completely, cause it's amazing. It's incredible.
I talked about it. Yes, Tony.
Last week was the second place in the football pool. And this week it's stimulus checks. Bing.
My stimulus check gets deposited into my joint bank account with my wife, so that doesn't get touched.
Boo.
No, it's good. It's good. We're good. I treated myself for Christmas. So, and if you listen to the Wednesday night show, I do I pre-order a lot of things, and then they either take forever or I just forget about them. So that's always exciting and fun when they show up.
Gotta order some barbecue sauce.
Get that main event mustard, baby. So before Brody, where do we want to go before Brody King joins us, boys?
Ooh, I have an idea of where we can go.
Where do you want to go?
We made picks, didn't we?
We did. We did make picks.
Fuck yeah! It's the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza thing! Night 1, Wrestle Kingdom 15!
Love the fire from you, Tony. You should always bring that fire when you have received second place in the picks. Because your boy went undefeated, bitch! 6-0. I'm one game behind you. Oh, how sweet it is. Kevin went 4-2. Tony went 5-1. But Kevin, I see you over there. You're shaking your head. I don't think there was any wrong picks here. Those matches that you lost, Kev, could have gone either way. It was literally a flip of a coin. Because Tony made the same pick as you in the Tanahashi match.
See, and that was the one thing. I really thought if there was a time to boost Great Okan, this would have been the show to do it. I'm not mad that Tanahashi won. Oh, sorry. Spoilers. I guess this is the New Japan portion of the show. We probably should have put that out there. But I really thought that would have been the perfect moment to give Great Okan like a high-profile win. But I'm not hating on Tanahashi for winning that match, you know?
I just hate that I went against my gut. I think the two that I got wrong, which kills me. Like I picked the Great Okan. Like I don't think I've picked the Great Okan once in any New Japan picks so far. So why I changed my mind this time, I have no idea. And then
I think I'm in the same boat with picking Master Wato a few times. But
maybe that's who I'm thinking of. But anyway, then I picked Will Ospreay to beat Okada, which I didn't really like either. And that was a gut punch right there too. Cause I say this every time we do New Japan picks. New Japan confuses me, man. It confuses me. I don't know what they're doing. I never know what they're doing.
My thought was that if Ospreay, he probably wasn't going to beat Okada. So I figured at least we could go 50-50. Maybe Okan beats Tanahashi, but it just didn't work out that way. So, you know, it's just kind of the way I played the thing.
I don't know. I have no idea what their plans are. I have to look up. I guess I have to. Are we going to do the picks for night 2 on the show?
Yeah, that's tonight.
Yeah, we can. We could do that.
Oh, baby.
We can do that.
We're not going to pick. We won't pick the women's pre-show matches because they won't be on TV. They won't be on the pre-show. And I don't want to sound harsh, but I don't think it really matters.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't matter in the grand scheme of Wrestle Kingdom. It's awesome, it's cool, but it definitely doesn't matter in terms of what Wrestle Kingdom means. Now, Matt, the last four of the Rumble, what kind is that? Just a fatal four-way match? Is there a rule that someone could have for that? Like, is it?
No, this is just a straight first pinfall is the winner.
Yes. I see. I wasn't sure if you were picking this because I got my picks real late in last night. Now I had three people picked for this, and I think they were all in it. Fale, Chase Owens, and Yano were three of the four. Right? Who was the four? Yes. Oh, Bushi.
Bushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't pick that one anyway because that was on the pre-show to begin with. But we are picking the Fatal Four Way for tonight's show.
Yes.
Yes.
And Yano won without even getting in there, right?
Correct.
You know, he's the fucking Cosmo Kramer of New Japan. Just fucking shows up and falls ass backwards into everything. How could you not love that shit?
I had to do the because I wanted to make sure that I at least knew what was going on for tonight. I did the when I got home from work, I had it up on New Japan World and was doing like the, you know, the time bar scroll through and just going back to anything that I thought was really cool. And in fact, that like 1 second later, I see Yano walking to the ring. I scroll and he's raising his hand, but he still has his robe and everything and his sash on. And I'm like, I'm like, this guy is in a final four without even getting in the ring. That's awesome.
Now, since you watched the Rumble like that, Kevin, your boy Gabriel Kidd he was there.
See, I thought I saw him, but again, I was just kind of going through. And I wasn't 100% sure that he was even there. He lost?
He did. The Rumble is fun. It's really nothing that is must-see that they do. Usually in the past, when people could travel, they bring in a lot of surprises. You've seen Billy Gunn there. You've seen Michael Elgin. But in this instance, it was pretty much who's in Japan.
Well, it wasn't like Rocky Romero like the biggest surprise?
Yeah, I guess so. Kevin Kelly kept going like on commentary, yeah. Where's Rocky? Where's Rocky? And it was like, you're just giving it away, Kevin. We know he's going to be in the Rumble.
I thought that, but I was still pretty pumped when it happened. One thing I don't like is how the pre-show, why can't they use the ramp?
I don't know.
Like, why don't they use the aisle? Like, why do they have to come in out the dugout and walk on like the tarp? I don't like that.
Yeah, that's a fair question, Kev. I didn't even think about that.
I don't know. I really haven't the slightest idea. Maybe because it's the pre-show.
And also, I guess, but like, and also like the music starts like an hour before they come out.
Yeah, the music does last quite a long time. And I noticed because I watched the Rambo is what they were calling it on replay. They edited out somebody's entrance music.
Yes.
I don't know if you caught that. Like what was the deal with that? What did they use that got cut? Do you know?
There are certain guys who have music that they don't have the rights to, so it can be played in the arena, but it can't be streamed.
Gotcha. But did they play the music that's playing in the arena when they first air it, or
no?
They dub it?
No, it just it came. Wow. So I was watching live. It came right up. The music has been altered due to copyright reasons or whatever. It says it on the screen.
Wow.
They're real weird with shit like that. You want to know why the Stardom matches aren't going to be shown on New Japan World?
Same reason?
A different TV company owns Stardom.
Why?
Oh.
And they won't give New Japan the rights to show their matches.
So those matches aren't going to be watchable during the live show? Is that
you can't watch them on New Japan World. Now, if they put them up later or if you have to go to Stardom to watch them, is a completely different story.
That's really weird. Then why would they even want to have them on the show then if it's got that kind of like tie up
for the live crowd? It was the same last year when they had that match.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
And I feel like the Japanese audience is way more into women's wrestling than we are. Is that fair in terms of like at least the three of us, not the American audience?
I think
and I love me some good women's wrestling here in the States. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're way into it.
Yeah.
The fact that a Stardom exists is proof of that, I think.
Yeah. I'd say they're way into it in a, in a less creepier way.
Oh, of course. That's a sport for them, 100%.
Yeah, but the people that go see women's wrestling in Japan are all middle-aged men who are, like, very nice, very friendly, borderline. You know, if it was America, they'd be fucking creepy stalkers. And they'd be breaking into all their houses a la, you know, Sonya Deville.
But you couldn't get away with that here, and you'd not get away with it, but you couldn't have an all-women's regularly run promotion. Don't get me wrong, there's some in the indies that do okay, but like WWE is having a hard time stringing together Revolution pay-per-views, and they're the biggest company in the world. So the fact that exists there is a testament to how the fans in that country treat women's wrestling, I think.
Yeah, well, I think wrestling in general over there, they treat it. I mean, so here's a perfect point, right? People weren't familiar with the guidelines that were set in Japan for live events like this. So it was so quiet. It was quieter than usual because everyone in attendance had to wear a mask and you weren't allowed to yell. So all the cheering had to be done by clapping or thundersticks. And the reason was because if you take your mask off to yell and you're around other people inside and everyone's yelling, you're going to spread the COVID. So the Japanese wrestling fans want to go to live shows, so yeah, they abide by the rules. If you try to do that in America, people would lose their fucking minds. That's why we're not allowed to have nice things, because people think it affects their rights as Americans to not spread this fucking awful deadly disease that continues to kill people.
Yeah, you can't even get like American fans to like not only like not wear a mask, but like you can't get them to like not fight at a sporting event that you are allowed into.
Right. Over like something you have zero outcome of, you know, you do not affect the outcome of the fucking Dolphins getting shellacked by the Bills, but you're still going to start a fight with a Bills fan for what reason is beyond me.
Did that happen?
For whom?
Did the Bills and Patriots, Bills and
the Dolphins fucking Dolphins fight? Got their dicks fucking kicked in.
Oh, I know that, but was there a fight?
Oh, no, I don't know. I was just using that as an example.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I got you, because there were definitely fights in the beginning of the season. I think it was actually the Eagles.
That doesn't surprise me at all. They ruined everything.
Dumb question. Weren't we all just worried like 2 days ago that this Wrestle Kingdom might not happen with a crowd at all?
So the government isn't going to decide until January 18th, I think, is what I saw.
What was the issue?
The spike. So their spike in COVID, I think the highest they had hit was 1,300 in a day.
For the whole country or like just like Tokyo or?
I did not do any research on this, so I don't want to misspeak. It might be for just the city of Tokyo. I really don't know. But their concerns were they wanted it was starting to spike. So there was talk of the government declaring a state of emergency and shutting everything down. And I think they asked for a stay till the 18th to see what happened. I could be wrong. I'd have to look all this up. I think Scotch Drinkmore put something in the Discord. He was kind of more up on it yesterday, but I was in between watching football, taking down Christmas, and taking a 4-hour nap in the middle of the afternoon so I could watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Alrighty.
But yes, there was concerns that it may have been canceled, but it was not. And none of the shows were. I think TITJPW, some all-women's show ran. Pro Wrestling Noah ran yesterday. So everyone was okay.
That's good.
Awesome. Yeah.
Do we want it? Now, look, Brody King's calling in 8 minutes. Do we want to go through this really fast and then double back after we talk to Brody? Or...
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing I want to go through is because we tend to not go through this with the picks, but I just like to go through for everybody so they know exactly where we all like agreed and where we all ventured from our points. Now, Matt said before we went through everything that he did go undefeated. He picked all 6 matches correctly. The ones that we all had correct across the board, we all took Takahashi over El Phantasmo. We all had the Gorillas of Destiny win the tag belts from Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. We all had Kenta successfully defending his right to challenge for the U.S. championship against Kojima. And we all picked Kota Ibushi to beat Naito for the double championship. Where we separated, Matt was the only person that took Tanahashi. Kevin and I both took the Great Okan, and Matt and I both took Okada, and Kevin took Will Ospreay. So that's where we were. Matt went 6-0. I went 5-1. Kevin went 4-2. Great showing by all three of us, but with not too many shows left, it's kind of getting close.
It is. It's getting down to the nitty gritty.
How many shows do we have left aside from picking tomorrow, tonight's show?
We have tonight. We have to decide on the MLW show on Wednesday if we want to pick that. And then the Impact's Hard to Kill.
Impact Hard to Kill might be the last show of the year.
So what are the standings right now? Do you have those?
Tony is in first place at 164-88.
Yeah!
I sit in second place at 163-89. I am one game behind T-Dog. Last year's defending and reigning champion Kevin is at 159-93. He is 5 games behind Tony, 4 games behind me.
I quit. I'm gonna pull an Eagles and put in the third string quarterback. I'm gonna have my 2-year-old niece make the picks from now on. That's what I'm doing.
Listen, 4-2 is nothing to sneeze at. Those matches were tough. I didn't get them all right
in a 6-match card. Come on, you gotta be better than that.
Still a passing grade. You wouldn't have flunked.
And look, it wasn't like these were, these weren't gimmies, you know. Okada Ospreay could have gone either way. It's, and we can talk about it when we make our night two picks. It's what's the direction they're going to go with these guys now. Great Okan had a huge, huge match on the biggest show of the year against arguably one of the biggest stars in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he had a great showing. Where do they go with that? Okada Ospreay. I mean, you could have taken either of them. So there's a lot. And we'll unpack it all after we talk to our guest. And I believe he's in the queue, Mr. T-Donk.
He should be joining us right now. I just joined him into the meeting. There he is.
Mr. Brody King, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I like the New Japan jacket. We're talking New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 1. Now, you're on the West Coast, correct?
Yes, sir.
So you got it was a little easier for you to watch last night?
Yeah, a little bit easier. I got until the Tana Great Okan match, and then I fell asleep, but then I watched the rest this morning.
Okay, yeah, because I did East Coast, so I was up till 7 this morning.
Jesus.
Yeah, I fought the good – I'm not looking so great. I'm not feeling so great right now. I got about 4 hours of sleep. My wife was like, it's 11 o'clock. Get out of bed, you lazy shit. And I was like – I'm like, you know what I was doing last night. She's like, just get up. I do it all the time. So I've been.
I got two babies right now. I got a 4-month-old and almost a 2-year-old. So I didn't have the choice of watching all night and not sleeping.
Oh, God bless. Good for you. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Ring of Honor superstar, highly shafted at Final Battle. I'm very upset about this.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of that. I got some plans in mind, though.
I would hope so. We know Villain Enterprises is no more, but your friendship with the Mercenary and PCO, if you had to reform the faction to take on FIJ, is that something that you are open to doing?
You know, I wasn't really happy with where Flip was going. I don't really understand where his mindset is right now. It seems like he's kind of all over the place, and he'll kind of go wherever, you know, the dollar takes him instead of friendship. But definitely, you know, there's no hard feelings with Mr. PCO. He will always be one of my boys and someone I can always count on. So I don't think that bridge is burned at all.
That's a plus, because you guys were highly successful as a tag team. Crockett Cup winners in 2019. And I'm sure you spent a lot of time with him. Is he as crazy and wild as it comes across on TV? Because I know during the pandemic, he ran like a 50-mile like thing in Canada just for like because he wanted to.
Yeah, he it's funny because like I hadn't talked to him for like probably a month or so, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to check in with PCO and see how he's doing. So I said, hey, hey Carl, how you doing? Like, I hope everything's well, you know. And he texts me back. He's like, yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for checking in. Hope the kids are good. And then like that night, he just starts posting videos of him running. And I was like, wait, what are you doing? He's like, I'm running 50 miles, or it was 80 something kilometers in Canada to the Olympic stadium or whatever it is. And I was like, why? He goes, I just wanted to. I was like, okay. He's got like his loafers on, and like, he doesn't have like actual running shoes. He doesn't have like running gear. It's freezing fucking cold there. And he's just doing it because he wanted to. But that's just kind of how he is. Like, he never doubts himself when it comes to stuff like that, for better or worse. I mean, like, there's been cases, I'm sure you guys have probably seen my match with him at Bola in 2018, where he infamously tried to do a moonsault to me on the outside and ended up eating it on the ropes. But he was 100% convinced that he could do that, and he convinced me that it was okay. So I mean, that's just who he is. But yeah, he's the man.
He's unbelievable. Watching him every time he takes that bump on the outside of the ring. To see Pete, like, I grew up watching him, and now he's even crazier than he was before, and he's taking these crazy bumps. Unbelievable. You guys against the Briscoes at that was the anniversary show was it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I felt like that was like our true introduction to who we were and like what we were planning on doing in Ring of Honor. The Briscoes are, in my opinion, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And to have that type of match with them in that setting and also to come out on top with the titles was unbelievable.
That's fun. He's like the 2020 version of Forrest Gump. What are you doing? I just felt like running.
Dude, it is crazy. Like, someone asked him the other day, they're like, Carl, what do you think the secret to like you not just being broken down is? And he's just like, well, I don't believe in physical therapy. I don't believe in chiropractors. I don't believe in, it's like all these like things that like, he's like, I've never gotten a massage. It's like all these things that people do that think that it's like restoring their body. He's like against. And I mean, I can't argue with him. Like, the one time he took that bump on the apron, and it was on a ring where the padding was like a little short. So he actually just hit metal and wood. And afterwards he was walking bad. Like, I thought he messed his back up. He was walking like he was 100 years old. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, this is the end of it. The next morning, he's like down at the breakfast area, just hanging out. Like, everything was fine. He had to get help to his room the night before. But the man doesn't feel pain. He's truly not human. And I love him to death.
He's you guys were awesome as a tag team. He's fantastic to watch. And no disrespect to you, but him and Chicken as a tag team, I know it was a one-time thing, but that literally might be the craziest tag team ever.
Yeah, I almost hope it's not a one-time thing. You know, I know there's some tension between Mark and Jay right now, so we'll see how that all pans out. I would definitely like to see Mark and PCO get maybe a title run. I think that would be insane. I remember I watched them do their promo where Mark said that they're the two craziest people to ever be in Ring of Honor. And afterwards I had to pull his card a little bit. I was like, Chicken, you think you're crazier than Necro Butcher? He goes, all right, maybe it's Necro Butcher and then me and PCO, but there's no one crazier. I was like, okay, I'll agree with you there.
No, absolutely. You talk about feeling no pain. You are infamous for wrestling many months with a broken jaw. I can't even begin to imagine. First, I appreciate your passion for the wrestling business and the fact that, you know, you didn't lose your smile and go away, but you just kind of toughed it out. What was the hardest part of that?
Eating. So I broke my jaw December 20th. It was like right before Christmas, a couple days before Christmas. I just signed my contract with Ring of Honor. I just debuted at Ring of Honor, and I was finishing up my indie dates and I was had a match with Jake Atlas. Jake Atlas kind of did like this spinning kick, caught me right in the mouth and broke my tooth and had a hairline fracture under the tooth in my jaw. And then when they pulled the tooth, it completely broke my jaw. I had emergency jaw surgery the next day, metal plate in my mouth, missing two teeth. And yeah, mouth wired shut for 8 weeks. And so I'm like, I was still AAW champion at the time. I had a match with Darby Allin in a no ring like match. And this is supposed to be like my send off from the indies. And I was like, well, I have to fulfill my obligations. The doctor's sitting there and he goes, you can absolutely not get hit in the face for at least 6 months. Do not wrestle. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, Danny Daniels, I'll be there on Friday. So I had Christmas. My wife blended up a prime rib for me. I drank everything through a straw. When I was on the road, it was just me drinking Muscle Milk. I was very irritable and angry most of the time. I lost 35 pounds just from drinking, but that weight came back quick once you started eating food again. But yeah, man, it was a weird time because like I felt like this was my break and like I couldn't do anything to like hinder that. So I told the booker and you know my bosses at Ring of Honor, like, I'll be there. I'm gonna do my job. And they were like, you are insane. And since then, you know, I've wrestled with my jaw wire shut. I've wrestled with a broken hand. I tore my ACL and I wrestled for about a month before I knew that it was like fully torn. But yeah, pain is just like, it's just something I feel like I can get through. Unless my like leg is just not moving, I'm going to try to get through it.
Right. So with all the tattoos, they don't, the pain doesn't, nothing, right?
Oh, I fucking hate tattoos. Dude, I hate getting them more than anything. They hurt so bad. And every time I'm getting one, I'm like questioning myself on why I'm doing this. And like my whole body is almost tattooed at this point. So hopefully at some point I'll just be done and I don't have to get any more.
That's my tattoo artist is covered and he hates. He doesn't like, I've fallen asleep on the table and he's like, how? And I'm like, I don't know. You're just doing this. I'm like, you're covered in them. He's like, I hate them. I hate them. They hurt like a son of a bitch.
The only ones that don't really hurt are like, have been like my arms. And like, other than that, everything sucks.
That's fat. Cause you are literally, your whole chest is covered.
Yep.
Among everything, you have a very unique look.
My chest, my back, my ribs, everything.
What was the worst place for you?
So right now I'm in the middle of like a gigantic cover up on my front, obviously, but I think my back was the worst. But then again, I got my ribs tattooed when I was like 20 and I thought that was really, really bad. So it's hard to tell that, you know, there's like a 13 year difference between the two.
Right.
Everything on the torso sucks though.
Kevin, you had a question?
Yeah, sure. Switching gears to final battle. What was the atmosphere like going into that show amongst the locker room? And what were your expectations of the show leading up to a match that a lot of people thought you were going to win? So talk about your expectations of that show and the atmosphere, what it was like going into, I think it was like the first pay-per-view since the restart, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah.
So what was that like for you and the atmosphere of Ring of Honor?
You know, it was kind of intimidating, honestly. Like, I felt like the Pure title tournament was a huge turning point for Ring of Honor. It was a good restart for us. It was everyone was kind of able to kind of get on the same page and be like, where are we going? What do we want to do? And to be kind of like, you know, one of the figureheads of the pay-per-view of like, where is Ring of Honor now and where are they going was intimidating, but it was also cool because I feel like I thrive well under pressure. And this was my opportunity to be like, this is the product that I want to represent and this is how I want to represent it. And I think we did that well. I thought that, you know, in a obviously a biased opinion, I thought that the pay-per-view from start to finish was done very well.
No, absolutely. The pay-per-view was a home run. you guys are so, the whole roster is talented. And even before when 2020 kicked off, the restart with Free Enterprise and the direction you guys were going and the working with the NWA and the way you guys were showcasing the Alex Zanes and yourself and, you know, Flamito and Bandito, like such an amazing, amazing talent. And then when the restart happens and you switch to this pure title tournament, everyone just shined. You and Shane Taylor, holy moly, what a, like the prospect of Final Battle after watching him beat Jay Briscoe and me thinking like Brody King's going to walk out the champion and these two are going to have Haas battles for months was so exciting for me. Which is why I'm so vitriol towards Roosh and his cronies, his goons. Don't shake your head.
I'm agreeing with you. It was
his own family.
They're still goons. They're all goons. It was three against one.
Oh yeah. I'm not going to disagree. I mean, I had it done, and you know, it might've been a miscue on my end. You know, I put Shane Taylor down with the burning lariat. Maybe I should have just ended it there, but I felt like I need that final stamp on the match with the Gonzo Bomb, and that might have been my downfall. I don't know, but it was definitely, you know, disappointing. Like, I felt like I was going into that match for war, and I felt like that's what I gave him, and it took his entire family to take me down.
Unbelievable bunch of son of a bitches. So what does the future now hold? Are you, you're not done with FIJ. Obviously there's revenge there, but is there anyone in Ring of Honor that you have your sights set on?
I mean, right now my sights are pretty dead on Roosh at the moment still. You know, I got to kind of fall back and I got to recalculate where I have to approach that. Cause obviously he has the numbers and he has the power essentially with that belt. So I have to calculate where my next moves are going to be with that. I think that, you know, as much as I like what the pure title has done for the perception of Ring of Honor right now, I think that there's a little bit of hypocrisy with that title and with the pure division. You know, Jonathan Gresham is always talking about how pure rules made Ring of Honor, and that was what everything was based around. But I disagree, because Ring of Honor was built on guys like Homicide and Necro Butcher and Low Key and like these guys that were very violent and very aggressive, and not just because they, you know, shook hands at the beginning and after the match. Like, it doesn't have all to do with hold for hold or who can do the best tie you up in a pretzel moves. Like, Homicide won matches by suffocating people with a bag, or, you know, pouring bleach over someone's face. Like, that's what made Ring of Honor interesting, was the styles, all of the styles melding together. So the fact that the foundation wants to quote unquote purify Ring of Honor with their style of wrestling, I think is hypocritical.
Yeah. And it's almost like the whole pure concept, bringing that back, is almost kind of like taking over the identity of Ring of Honor to an extent. And I'm not discounting anything else, but all you hear about, because there were pure tag matches, or like on Final Battle, there's a pure tag match, which we hadn't seen before. So it's like this is this Ring of Honor trying to bring back that, like this is what we were, even though you just said that's clearly wasn't always the case.
Yeah. And that's where, like, I'm kind of confused too. So we're going to have to just see how it plays out. But I could tell you what, like, if they want to step in my way and tell me that my way of wrestling is not honorable or not the Ring of Honor way, then, you know, they could get the fuck out of my way, or I'm going to go through them.
That's what I like to hear. We're talking with Brody King at Brody X King on Twitter and Instagram. He's also got a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/BrodyXKing. Make sure you're following him, checking him out. He's cooking steak. He's eating like a caveman. You don't look like a badass hoss if you're not living like a badass hoss. You mentioned Homicide, and because of the pandemic, we didn't get to see the dream match at the Past vs. Present show. But how excited were you for the opportunity? And then, of course, if you watched the latest episode of Ring of Honor TV, they kind of broke down the days as the pandemic unfolded and people were flying into Vegas and they went through all that stuff. It's an excellent episode if you have Honor Club to check it out, or go to Ring of Honor, ROHWrestling.com. But you were supposed to wrestle Homicide that weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that was very disappointing when that didn't happen. Obviously, for good reason it didn't happen, but I was disappointed. You know, Homicide is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated wrestlers in ROH history. He didn't have the size, he didn't have the height, but like what he didn't have, he made up for in everything else. Like, he was not afraid to stand toe to toe with the biggest guys and smack them right in the face and tell them that, you know, that he was coming for him. And I think everyone was intimidated of him because of that. You know, he's just this like crazy pissed off Puerto Rican from New York that's going to fuck you up. And that's just the way it's going to be. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with Homicide. I've hung around him a bit since meeting him. But when I started to kind of break in on the indies, one person that really took me under their wing was Eddie Kingston. And Eddie, like, you know, his mentor is Homicide. So it's kind of like, you know, the 3 degrees of separation or whatever it's called. I felt like, you know, I had to adhere to Homicide's teachings that he passed on to Eddie. So that match meant a lot to me in that sense, was that the person that kind of like helped me out, helped him out. And this was my opportunity to kind of show him that I wanted to carry that torch further.
Yeah. And hopefully we get to see, somewhere down the road, you and Homicide, cause that would be awesome. The pandemic, unfortunate situation. Did it give you time to recharge your batteries and then heal up? Cause you mentioned all those previous injuries before, and then the ROH bubble, everybody has raved about it. Just to talk to about the way Ring of Honor is handling this and the measures they're going to protect, you and all of your peers.
Yeah, man. I honestly don't have a bad word to ever say about Ring of Honor, especially now. For the first 6 months of the pandemic, they took care of us better than I could have ever expected. You know, that you heard of companies making their guys come to work and possibly contracting COVID, or you heard of guys getting less pay because, you know, obviously the crowds weren't there and they couldn't fulfill contracts the way that they wanted to. But Ring of Honor, they just kept paying you as they would have regularly, and they didn't ask much of us. They checked in with us every few weeks with like a group meeting. And yeah, now that we have the tapings going, they have us in a bubble for a week to make sure that nobody's contracted. They test us multiple times. So, you know, as a family man and as someone that wants to get through this as quickly as possible, I am very grateful for Ring of Honor and the steps that they take for our safety and health.
Yeah, you echo a lot of the stuff a lot of the other Ring of Honor guys say. They've hit a home run, and they've really been a shining light during these dark times, especially taking care of their employees. So it's nice to see during all this pandemic stuff. You wear many hats, Mr. King. You're not just a professional wrestler. I am a metalhead, and we have a lot of fans who are listening who are big God's Hates fans. God's Hate fans. I can't speak, so it's not. It's been going on for 9 years, probably longer. But talk about the correlation of being in a hardcore band, metal band, and professional wrestling, because it seems like they go hand in hand. There's you, there's Andy from Every Time I Die. Obviously, Jericho's and Fozzy, they're not as heavy as you guys, but they play awesome music. How does that work? It seems like those are like two perfect worlds where you could just kind of go bounce back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, the dynamic between the two is very similar. You know, more of an aggressive atmosphere, and especially when you come from hardcore and punk rock, like that DIY sense really helps you when starting in something like professional wrestling. I feel like when I started wrestling, the physicality was like the easiest thing for me because of stuff like being in a pit at a hardcore show. It's like you're about to get punched in the face, and it's like, okay, so now I'm gonna get punched in the face with the guy I'm gonna know about it beforehand. Like, okay, I'm good with that. Like, hit me as hard as you want. That's fine.
Right.
But yeah, it is really cool to, and especially in modern times, it is really cool to see the representation of like punk and hardcore music in professional wrestling. People, like you said, like Andy Williams is one of my best friends in the world. Guys like Darby Allin, Matt Cross was always one of those guys that came from hardcore music. Ray Rowe, I know Eric, what's his name?
He's a Viking Raider. No.
Yeah. One of them. people like Ruby Riott. I think it is really cool to see the representation across the board of people that really truly came from that scene, and it's not just a gimmick.
So we have a couple fan questions. Just one. Milwaukee Tom is a huge fan. So he says he was listening to Mass Murder the other day, and he noticed a lot of clips from True Detective in there. He wanted to know if you were a big True Detective fan.
Oh, absolutely. I think that season one and season three are masterpieces. Season two, I need to revisit. I know that it's some people either love it or hate it. I don't think I really gave it a fair shake. I got a couple episodes in and I didn't click with me like the other seasons did, but I love True Detective. Yes.
He also wants to know, and listening to God's Hate, hearing a huge Paul Bearer and Sheer Terror vibe, would you count them as your influences?
So I love Sheer Terror, and I think Paul Bearer has one of the most unique voices in hardcore music. So it is definitely an influence, and it is a compliment whenever I get that connection.
He also wants to know if you've ever played with Sheer Terror, and if so, isn't Scott Vogel the coolest, funniest motherfucker ever?
We have not played with Sheer Terror. Scott Vogel is a good friend of mine, and he is an absolute psychopath. Yes.
Matt, I have a question from the Facebook. So you got to forgive me. I'm not familiar with the hardcore music. So Anthony Rusinella, who's a good friend who does another a podcast with Matt on Wednesday nights, he says God's Hate and Eat It Tour.
Eat It. Yeah, Every Time I Die. That's Andy Williams.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that's what they go by.
Yeah, Eat It. That's like their fans are called Eat Idiots. But yeah, I mean, I don't ever see myself being in a touring band again. You know, God's Hate will obviously do weekends or one-offs or whatever, but I'm sure that there would be an Every Time I Die God's Hate show on the horizon.
And a follow-up from Anthony, he wants to know who, like, I guess your more broader or who your musical influences are and your favorite bands. I don't know if we just covered that or not, but who are your influences and favorite bands overall?
My favorite bands and influences in hardcore are definitely Terror, who Scott Vogel is the lead singer of, Hatebreed, Marauder, a lot of New York hardcore, a lot of upstate New York hardcore bands. But yeah, that's pretty much, those are like my top three, I guess.
Nice. A lot of interaction here in the old social media world for you. A lot of people excited to pick your brain.
Well, I appreciate it.
We appreciate your time. Sorry, Kev, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I want to ask this, and I don't want to bring the mood down, but I feel like if I don't do it now, I probably won't get a chance to. Obviously, like the biggest story in wrestling probably for this year and probably for the next God knows how many years, it was the recent passing of Brody Lee. So I just want to get your take on that and what he meant, if there was any sort of correlation between yourself and him. Did you ever get a chance to meet him? Are you a fan of his? What's your take on Brody Lee's untimely passing, obviously?
I mean, I think it's one of the most tragic things to happen in wrestling in quite some time. I mean, obviously the passing of Shad Gaspard and like Hana Kimura was very sad, but like I feel like those things were very sudden, and like this was something that, like, you know, Shad, he kind of passed away saving his son or doing something heroic. Like, I felt like him finding out that he had some kind of condition with his lungs and then like it progressing rapidly, like having to see a family member or someone that's that well respected in any community pass like that is really hard. And I never got to meet him personally. I didn't know him. I only knew him through many of my friends that knew him. One of my good friends, Ryan Nemeth, is my personal trainer, and he was really good friends with Brody. And like, he would always text him back and forth. And like, we kind of had like jokes between Ryan. So it was like, it was strange that way, but I never got to meet him. When I started wrestling, I started watching a lot of old Chikara stuff. And that's when I really got to see, like, he was a guy that I wanted to kind of, I wouldn't say emulate, but I took a lot of inspiration from as a wrestler, as a big man and that could move. Like, he was the guy. And I owe a lot of to him as to, for like, for shining a light on a young big man wrestler and where I, what I can do with that. You know, at the beginning of the year there, when he got released from WWE, there was, you know, obviously people talking about like their dream match was me and Brody Lee. And like, that was obviously one of my dream matches. And at one point that was like kind of on the table for something, but it didn't end up working out. And I'll always wish that match happened, but you know, to everyone that he's influenced or had a connection with, I think that is so apparent with, you know, his passing and how overwhelming the response was. So for me, myself, my name comes from Bruiser Brody, but also like, you know, it being Brody Lee's name was also a bonus. So that's kind of my homage to him.
And you mentioned a dream match would be you versus him. What, like, when wrestlers have like their dream match scenario, is it more working like against, or is it teaming with? Like, what's the wrestler's mentality? Do you want to wrestle the person you really want to like be with, or do you want to tag team with them?
I mean, honestly, in any capacity, it doesn't really matter to me, because it would just mean a lot to me to know what like their thoughts on putting a match together are, or like what they're thinking about going into it, or what our dynamic would be together, like with or against, it doesn't really matter to me.
So with Wrestle Kingdom last night and your involvement in the LA dojo, being a huge part of New Japan Strong, also getting shafted by fucking Kenta and his nasty Bullet Club garbage. I'll tell you what, Mr. King.
You have a King Switch shirt on. What are you talking about?
Fair enough.
He is such a... he loves Jay White. I can't stand Jay White.
I do, but you know what? I'm also a realist. I know who's walking out double champion tonight.
Of course. They screwed him last year. It's the least they can do.
It's the best redemption story. New Japan is wonderful at telling these redemption stories. He's 0-3 against Kota. Kota's 0-3 against Jay White this year. He had to redeem himself for last year's Wrestle Kingdom double loss. Ibushi's walking out double champion. But yes, I know I'm wearing a King Switch shirt. I'm a big Jay White mark. Brody King shirt, brand new at ROHWrestling.com. You can grab yours, head over there now. And of course, Pro Wrestling Tees has their huge New Year's sale, so you can get some Brody King swag over there. I'm dreading is a terrible word. I'm not really the evil in the Bullet Club. It's like fucking outside interference extravaganza. Like, what Kenta does is super annoying with the briefcase and the outside interference. But evil and Dick, yeah, no, you got a bad beat this year between Kenta and Rush
in the same day.
Remarkable too how you did that.
Yeah, you know, I'm very good at time traveling and, you know, parallel universes. My head was throbbing at the end of the night because of that.
See, I would blame it on all the cheap shots that got taken on you.
Yeah.
Not the time travel. You look like an experienced time traveler. But I'm fucking evil in Sonata. I'm sure it's going to be Dick to go everywhere tonight. And then fucking Jay White tonight.
You just call him Dick to go?
Yeah, Dick to go.
Who doesn't love Dick to go everywhere?
Exactly. It's a big hit. All the ladies love it.
Dick Togo is one of the, I feel like a lot of people did not know his wrestling because they probably only know him from coming in with Evil, and he is such an incredible wrestler, or was. I hope that he gets to kind of showcase that again.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd be amazing. He was on the first ever ECW pay-per-view.
Yep.
He did PWG.
That's amazing. Dick to go. But then fucking Jado and Gato and everyone else is going to be involved tonight. I'm not.
Listen, the Bullet Club, they walk around like the shit doesn't stink. They walk around like they are on top of the mountain. But you know what? Maybe they are. I don't know. I obviously thought that I was going to, you know, win a title without having to deal with Roosh's family, which I was wrong. But maybe this is just the new game that you have to play, is you have to have, you know, some friends in your own corner. But, you know, as a man that I've always been raised, if you got a problem with someone, it's a one-on-one. You don't have to have a bunch of people jumping in. But you know what? Maybe that's just the game they play.
Will you?
Gorillas of Destiny, they win World Tag League. Maybe not the most honorable way, but they won. And then now they're champions. So what
do I know? They did not win in a very honorable way last night either.
Sure didn't.
Yeah, well,
now let's talk. Tai Chi, first of all, he's got a voice like an angel.
Shut up.
All right. And
nonsense.
And you know what?
The phone isn't plugged in.
It's a wireless microphone. They're very technology savvy over there in Tokyo. And if he takes his pants off earlier, I still think they're the tag team champions.
What if one day he just forgets his under trunks and he just got like a thong on and he just whips those things off and he's just like, uh-oh.
I mean, you got to evolve the character, right?
What is the character? Just a weird singer, Phantom of the Opera kind of?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Sometimes he's got the iron glove.
Yeah, that came back to bite him last night, didn't it?
Tai Chi's a weirdo.
Sure is.
Well, he's fucking running around with fucking Doki. What do you expect?
Doki Choki is maybe one of my favorite things ever. Gino Gambino is he's a genius for coming up with Doki Choki.
The whole squad over there, Kevin and Chris and Rocky and Gino, it's one of the, I mean, with outside of, and I think Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman are the best commentary. They, I know no one's in the arenas, but man, they do not let that affect them. And they
fill the void.
Oh, yeah. Do they? And they're so good together. Yeah. And
I think Kevin is the best in the game, and that's no discredit to Ian Riccaboni, because I think he is number two, and Ian learned from Kevin. So there you go.
And they do both fantastic job. And you know who was really, and I'm sure you're not going to like this because it seems like nobody likes him in Ring of Honor, but Brian Johnson was hysterical last week when he sat in on commentary for the 10-man tag match.
Brian Johnson. Yep. He's always got something to say, doesn't he? But he never puts up the W, does he?
No, he's, as we like to say on the podcast, he is a fucking loser. let me ask you a question. If COVID didn't happen, were you supposed to be in Japan at this time?
Well, unfortunately, I was supposed to be in Japan last year at World Tag League and I tore my ACL. I don't know if I would have made it to Wrestle Kingdom, but I think that I would have. I was supposed to do a couple tours over there, which maybe would have led to Wrestle Kingdom, maybe a Battle Royal spot. I'll take anything at this point.
We had a question earlier. So the Battle Royal, right? We talked about it earlier. How come they're not allowed? Do you know? Maybe you don't know the answer, but how come they're not allowed to walk down the ramp?
I don't know. It's always been like that, though.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think because, like, well, they don't even really have the lights off during the Battle Royal. So I think maybe they just want to save that as a spectacle for, like, the opening ceremony, which was awesome having Ricky Choshu come out with his grandson who was just crying the whole time. which, you know, might seem messed up, but, like, anyone that has a kid is like, yeah, my kid would probably be doing the same thing.
It's a very scary experience.
All right. So you're in the ROH bubble. Day's work is done. You get back to the hotel. What are you watching? Are you watching wrestling? And if so, like, what's your go-to wrestling to watch? Is there a certain era or genre or a company that you watch? And then after you're done watching wrestling, what else what else do you get into?
I play Call of Duty Warzone like nonstop. That's like my been my addiction all of quarantine since about March. But when I'm watching wrestling, modern wrestling, I try to keep up with about everything. I don't watch WWE at all. No slide to anyone that does, but it's just not my thing. I watch AEW, obviously, because I have a lot of friends there. You know, my guys, Eddie Kingston, Butcher and the Blade, Darby, like, I love seeing those guys succeed. And I feel like that they're killing it there. But my favorite type of wrestling to watch that I really enjoy is just New Japan Pro Wrestling. I try to keep up on mostly everything that they do, especially because, you know, with New Japan Strong, a lot of those guys have been popping over here and coming up with ideas for matches when I'm having them over here. But for match study and to kind of like learn and stuff, I love old Ring of Honor and I love old Noah. Like 2005 Noah is like mind-blowingly good.
Nice.
You mentioned you went to Japan 2019. Did you do any of the weird shit? Like, I know you eat like a lot of sirloin and stuff. Did you eat the raw horse and stuff?
Yeah. I ate horse and I ate whale and I didn't like either one of them.
No. And do they only serve it raw?
I didn't see it cooked anywhere, but there was like a restaurant where they had like whale tuna or whale sushi and it was gross. I did like the yakitori chicken hearts, like those were good. Trying to think of like other weird things that I ate there. When you go to shabu shabu, I don't know if you've ever had shabu shabu, but it's basically like a giant pot of like hot liquid, and like it's like flavored, right. And you dip like raw meat and raw vegetables in there and cook it in the broth. That's really good. But then you take it out and you stir it in a raw egg, like just egg yolk, and then you eat it, and that was like really strange at first, but then it tastes amazing.
Sounds like one of those things that you would see on that show on like the Travel Channel, like Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess, you know, it's just different cultures and different ways of doing things.
Or Delicious Destinations, which I'm incredibly too much of, by the way.
If you've never had shabu shabu and you for some reason have one around you, I know that they're kind of hard to come by. I would definitely recommend trying it.
We call in Jersey. They're called hot pots.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the same thing.
Probably similar.
Yeah, they have the big pot in the middle of the table, and then they put like you want a chicken flavor. They drop that in there, and you just go up to the bar and you grab all the raw food, and then you dip it in there and cook it and eat it. And
yeah,
it's fun. I guess I'm not really into it, but whatever.
I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, there's one in Parsippany, Kevin. Right by the Home Depot. Not like that matters. Nobody knows where the fuck that
is. When you started talking, you were saying like it's called hot. I thought you were gonna say it's called Hot Pockets. And I was like, no, like, no, not quite really.
Yeah, we do that too. It's called a Hot Pocket.
Yeah. That's what I eat. That's my diet is Hot Pockets and Taylor ham, egg and cheese.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
All right. So before we let you go, Brody King, and it's at Brody X King, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch TV. If you're into hardcore metal, God's Hate, it's godshate.bandcamp.com. They're also on Spotify. Mass Murder is an excellent album. I highly recommend it. If you want to like run through a fucking wall, you listen to an Eddie Kingston promo, you watch a Brody King match, then you put on some God's Hate, then you just, I don't know, demolish your house. It's a good time. Tonight, night two, Wrestle Kingdom. What's the match you're most looking forward to?
Jeff Cobb versus Shingo Takagi.
Nice.
I think Jeff Cobb walks out with the never openweight championship.
Two-time never openweight champion. I hope so. Jeff's my boy. I know he's like on a weird track right now with the Empire, but maybe that'll give him that little vicious edge that he needs. Because Shingo is going to bring it, and I hope that Jeff also brings it. It's going to be two sore guys at the end of that match.
I bet. I can only imagine. In the four-way for the King of Pro Wrestling, it's got to be Yano, right? He's the best.
So it's Chase, Fale, Yano, and
Bushi.
Bushi?
Bushi, yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I feel like Bushi is going to come out with it. I don't know why. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Fale, but Yeah, Yano is the, I feel like, the underdog in that one.
He's the freshest. He didn't even step in the ring last night.
I know. He didn't even put his trophy down. He like was still carrying everything.
I'm writing these down. I'm using your picks as my picks.
Oh, here we go.
What?
Kevin needs all the help he can get. He's last in picks. Is Yano like that backstage, like a super awesome character? Because he's so much fun.
I haven't really gotten to have much interaction with Yano. I mean, he's been always very kind whenever I've met him, but I've never really had much one-on-one time with him.
When you wrestle the Japanese gentleman, is there a language barrier? Is it like pro wrestling is a universal language?
Yeah, pro wrestling is definitely the language. Sometimes, you know, they won't understand you or you won't understand them, and you just kind of have to kind of, you know, either show them with motioning what it is or like just trying it, but it's usually pretty simple. And it's crazy because, like, you know, you think of these guys that don't speak the same language as having these like unbelievable matches. And then you come to the United States where two guys that speak the same language will have a dog shit match. And you're like, what's going on here?
Not right. And obviously you mentioned my King Switch shirt, so I'm assuming you're in the same boat with all of us. This is Ibushi's night.
I believe it is Ibushi's night. I would say that even if he was the underdog, because fuck Bullet Club.
Wow.
Yes.
Not even fuck FIJ. Fuck Bullet Club. I mean, fuck them all.
Fuck them all. Boy.
There you go.
They did me dirty so many times.
Now, if you were to enlist people from the King family, you go in like Jimmy the King?
Yes, Jimmy the King.
Jimmy the King.
Who else? Who else is a king? I guess Kenny King, but he's in
FIJ. Fuck him. Jerry the King?
Jerry the King.
I don't like your team of King. They're all old. They're old guys. We got to get you some younger kings.
Yeah, I don't think this is working out for me. How about the fucking King, Nick Gage?
All right. Then you do not need anybody else. You and Nick Gage as a tag team, that would be awesome. 100% awesome.
I think Nick Gage and Ring of Honor would be pretty head turning if I don't mind myself.
I think Ring of Honor needs to do that.
We'll see.
Awesome.
That would be unbelievable. Brody, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Again, at Brody X King on Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv/BrodyXKing. God's Hate is at godshate.bandcamp.com. And again, it's on, they're on Spotify. That's where I listen to them. I'm sure they're on iTunes or wherever you get your music. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go for the rest of the night?
No, thank you guys for having me. You know, I'm glad that I could be on it. And this was a very fun interview. So thank you.
Brody, thank you. It was a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your time. Be safe. And we'll be rooting for you when you decide to strike back and destroy FIJ and the Bullet Club. Fuck the Bullet Club, right? I might as well just take this shirt off now. God.
Yeah, I hope you burn your t-shirt. And so I'm going to come back with a vengeance.
I love it. Brody King, everybody. Awesome. Brody, thank you very much. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thanks.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Later, guys.
See ya. Brody King.
Please take your shirt off.
Right now?
Yeah.
No, man. BC era. What was I thinking?
I wore my new shirt.
You're right. I wasn't thinking. He was awesome. That was fantastic.
Yeah, he was cool.
Big Brody guy.
Tony, you a lot to say there, huh?
It's fine.
The only thing Tony said in that interview was fuck Jay White. I'm very offended by that, by the way.
Fuck him, too.
I feel like every like third interview we do, Tony's just like, you might as well just be in the Facebook group, like watching.
You know what, Tony? You can have Miko all to yourself next week.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You guys were, no, but see, that's the thing. That'll be incredible because I think Miko and Tony were made for each other.
Ooh.
What?
Sexy time.
I mean, Tony is going to be on the podcast 3 times in a month and a half. It's incredible. You guys
number
are
number one guest.
That's my list tonight. It's all Miko. It's top 5 guests named Miko, and they're all him.
We are celebrating Miko Maestro's birthday next week.
I'm excited. I like the guy.
With so. Bean Boozles.
We are doing Bean Boozles. Do you want to, what do you guys want to do? You want to talk about this Wrestle Kingdom? You want to take a break and come back with some Wrestle Kingdom?
We could talk about Wrestle Kingdom. We could talk about WWE. We could talk about AEW. We could talk about anything that you want to. But Kevin, before we do all that, what do we like to say?
Back after this. Pew, 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 pew.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you can combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support The Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with The Shining Wizards.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareen, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Radioactive metal!
I like your crunchy Cheez-It snack, sir. If you watch, if you follow Kate the Great on the Twitter machine, at OnDeckIC, she put out a poll the other day. Favorite snack? Cheez-Its, baby. Cheez-Its are my favorite snack. I could eat a whole fucking box of Cheez-Its.
They're good, man.
Love.
I got to unmute here. Wait, so we're talking like overall snacks? Like
I think she picked like four snacks. Cheez-Its, something else, something, I don't know.
Are Bugles on there?
That's a good question. Bugles are fun to put on your fingers, but I don't know if they're a top five snack.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that's all we used to do. We used to do, like, witch fingers. Like,
all right, Cheez-Its are great, by the way. I'm not going to deny that Cheez-Its are fantastic. But that's a bold... I mean, if it's only a selection of four, Cheez-Its probably does win over a lot. But in the entire snack world, tough call.
For me, Tony, are you on a second adult beverage?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're getting wild.
It's bad because I'm probably going to miss doing my DDPY today.
You know what, Tony? It's okay.
I've had like 130-something days, I think, at this point. So, I don't know. And I think my shoulders need a bit of a break. You know, I'm getting fucking swollen shit.
I like that. Well, you know what? If you want to support Tony in his 135 days of DDP yoga, if you want to buy Kevin a bag of Bugles...
Oh, yeah.
If you want me to take off this King Switch t-shirt, go over to Patreon. Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. And maybe I'll take into consideration wearing a Bullet Club shirt during an interview with Brody King after he was jumped and lost a match to the Bullet Club a couple weeks ago. But I was excited to wear this King Switch shirt. I got it a couple weeks ago, and this is the first time I've put it on. And I said, what better time?
How many Jay White shirts is that for you now?
Ooh, I got a lot of Jay White shirts, brother.
I think we made fun of each other because I wear like the same thing every week, and you wear the same thing every week. Like a Jay White. I feel like every week you wear a Jay White shirt.
I've been trying to switch it up.
But hey, listen, you're a fan. I'm a major mark. I wear their stuff every week.
There you go. So go over to patreon.com/wizardpodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. We want to thank Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Our king over in Austria, Mr. Manny Crazzo. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Mr. Ryan Arthur over at elementarybrewery.com. Elementary.com, excuse me. Sean Toe and Sean Calejo. Kate Hensler at ondeckic.com. She does a podcast with Kevin Gill. It's called What's Good Pro Wrestling. Plus, she's part of the Wednesday Night Vehicle. So Kate is getting around. That's what happens when you hook up with good old JR. You know?
God damn. Oh, wait, no, that's Jim
Cornette. You get the JR rub in more ways than one.
Huh, buy my rub, sassafras.
There you go. Weird, it still says Tony. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Matt Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore, Jay Kopp, the big cop of pump over there from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock. I think that's also Milwaukee Tom.
Yes.
So props to you for the awesome questions. I'm glad I got to ask them. Michael Hammond. Mr. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Mr. Matthew Birch, the true prince of pro, happy birthday. It is actually Matthew's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Prince.
I don't think I mentioned Mark Parlone. It's always his birthday, but he's a big supporter.
Happy
birthday, Mark. TJ Vegas, our newest Patreon, Braden Bergen. Bergren?
Yes, Bergren.
Welcome to the Shining Wizards, where I will butcher your
name. Welcome, my man.
I appreciate your support.
Say that name again.
Braden
Bergren.
Bergren.
Braden?
Braden.
Like the Mortal Kombat character?
No, B. Braden. Braden.
Oh, like the ECW's own Braden Walker.
You son of a bitch.
Good one, Kevin. Fucking bravo, sir. No.
ECW legend, Braden Holmgren.
ECW original.
That's right. He's an extremist.
You motherfuckers. I swear to God. I hate you.
Kevin,
both.
You fucking rule tonight, my
man. I thought it was Raiden from Mortal Kombat. Right? Is that a character, Raiden, with the hat?
It is. Last but certainly not least, his name was Raiden. Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. What about me? What about Raiden? You know what I mean? Oh, by the way, breaking news, boys. The Christmas presents have arrived.
Whoa!
Dick,
so we're celebrating Christmas and Miko's birthday next week?
Birthday extravaganza.
Good Lord.
Yes, they have arrived. So we'll figure out a way to get those out. It only took 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
You know what? That's not bad. I ordered a gift for Rhiannon at the end of November, and it did not arrive. So I reached out to Amazon. And they were kind enough to send me a replacement. And that was Saturday morning. And then I got home Saturday night. It was here. And then it came again on Sunday. So.
same thing. Two different presents. I got like 3 Philadelphia Eagles shirts. I have no idea what to do with them. My dad's an Eagles fan.
Burn them.
Yes.
My dad's from South Jersey. He's an Eagles fan.
Well, I apologize.
Right. I'm a Jets fan. It's even worse.
All green and white fans. That you got something in common.
Well, there you go. All right, so let's talk a little Wrestle Kingdom. Night one. Tony kind of ran through who we all picked. We could just go over some of the matches. We don't have to go in depth. There was nothing earth shattering. Hiromu beat El Fantasmo, and I thought this was a fucking awesome match. And I thought El Fantasmo really, really looked great in this match. And I know there was a lot of New Japan fans who were not happy that he was in this spot because they weren't impressed with him. But man, I fucking love El Fantasmo. I love that Rocky. I think it was Rocky. Rocky called him like a Sean Waltman, which is great.
Wait, Matt, who are New Japan's unhappy with?
A lot of the hardcore New Japan fans didn't think El Fantasmo deserved to be in this spot.
Okay. For a second, I thought you meant Hiromu, and I was like, wait a second, he's been pushed forever.
No, Hiromu's awesome. I love Hiromu's coat. I want a Hiromu coat. I got my boy Daryl right here.
Ah, Daryl's back. How many times have we had him on the podcast?
Daryl is always on the podcast.
Tony's disgusted.
Hi, Daryl. Go fuck yourself. Dumb stupid cat.
I don't understand why.
How come Daryl is showing us his butthole?
Is that a puppet or an actual stuffed animal?
That's a stuffed animal.
Fucking terrible.
You're terrible.
Do you clean his poop that gets stuck in his butt?
Nah, he's good. He doesn't poop. He's the best cat ever. He doesn't poop or nothing.
I'm sure he's not.
See? Kitty cat.
Still got the tags on.
Yeah. It's from Japan.
That looks nothing like that. That looks nothing like him.
No, this is like a high kitty cat.
And it is a high kitty cat. Hi, kitty cat.
You want to do drugs?
Meow.
No Hiromu last, or no Daryl last night, but Hiromu with a huge victory. So he gets Taji Ishimori tonight for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. What did you guys think of the match?
I liked it. Liked it a lot. I think Phantasmo is a lot more handsome than his graphic shows him as.
Yeah, and like I said, I had to squeeze as much as I could in before after work, so I didn't really get a chance to. Hiromu does the Styles Clash, or is that Phantasmo?
No, El Phantasmo did every move from everyone that's ever been in the Bullet Club.
So did he do Jeff Jarrett's The Stroke?
No, he did not do The Stroke.
Is Jeff Jarrett a former Bullet Club member?
I would say he's about as much as a Bullet Club member as...
You're going to make an NWO reference.
I am going to make an NWO
reference.
So
Michaels being in the NWO?
Ooh, that's not bad.
That's a great call, Tony.
You're welcome.
It's a great call. Not there yet. We could talk about it after we talk about Wrestle Kingdom. I just finished King of the Ring 2001.
Ooh. I like it, Matt.
Hiromu, he gets Taiji Ishimori tonight. The Gorillas of Destiny become 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. I really, really like this match. I thought it was well done. I, again, stand by the fact that Taichi, if he took his pants off earlier, I think the Dangerous Techers would have been victorious. What's that face for, Tony?
I was hoping that one of the Gorillas would have ripped his pants off for him, and then the crowd would have been like, oh, shit. That's what I was waiting for.
That's a great...
No microphone connected to anything fucking fake singer fuck. Good, and he got clawed in the face, too. Fuck him.
I don't understand.
I don't like him. Tai Chi.
You don't have to be so nasty about it. You don't like Tai Chi. You don't like Jay White.
Fuck Jay White.
You're just full of hate and vitriol.
And I want to go back to a guy that you mentioned, which really piqued my interest in the Rumble. Dookie.
I got to tell you, if it wasn't for the Rumble, I would have forgot half the roster because it's been so long since like we've really been like, from my perspective, involved in like who is still with New Japan. But seeing all those fucking old guys in there, like Suzuki and Hanma and all these guys getting a fucking few minutes of action.
Yeah,
that was good shit, man. That was good shit for me.
So, Matt, what's the story with Dookie? Dowkie.
No, it's Dookie. Oh,
okay.
Dookie.
Dookie.
Dookie Chokey. He was
a big stick.
Yeah, and he used it as a weapon in the Rumble, and he got disqualified.
Fucking Dookie dummy.
And there's not much of a story behind him. He was a replacement in the Super J, Best of the Super Juniors last year, and he's just kind of stuck around. He's the guy in Suzuki Goon who usually eats all the pins.
Oh, big Dookie guy.
All right, we'll get you some Dookie gear.
That's what I want. I'm gonna be the king of Dookie gear. Suzuki Dookie.
Look, you know everyone who tuned into Wrestle Kingdom last night just wanted to see Dookie and Jado go at it, or Jado.
Oh, God. So is Dookie involved with – who is he involved with?
He's Suzuki Goon.
Is he with the Phantom of the Opera guy?
His name is Tai Chi, and yes, he is in that faction, yes.
All right.
So he's when Suzuki-Goon is Minoru
Suzuki-Goon.
Suzuki-Goon is Minoru Suzuki, Kanemura, El Desperado.
That's right.
Zack Sabre Jr., Tai Chi, and Dookie.
Ah. Move over, Gabriel Kidd. You got a new guy.
All right. I'm okay with that.
I'm a big Dookie guy.
Tony is too. Apparently he shit his pants last week.
Yes, Christmas Eve, actually, I think it was.
You bring good tidings. Congratulations.
Christmas Eve. It was the day before Christmas Eve.
Okay, so just say the day before Christmas Eve. Don't say
I forgot what day it was.
Christmas Eve, you fucking
jack. Very proud when I texted you.
Fucking
you that.
Jack wagon.
I texted Matt. Days since I've shit my pants, zero.
I'll tell you what threw me off about the text. Not that you shit your pants. You've been texting later at night, which really throws me off because you're really you're going against your old man Tony gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it is what it is.
You're breaking kayfabe, bro.
I'm trying not to. You don't have to bring it up.
And that's why I sent my picks via email because I'm like, it's 12:30. I know Matt's up because Matt's going to watch the show, but Tony's definitely in bed.
Yeah, but I don't keep the phone near me. The phone stays like in the kitchen far away. I don't hear shit.
Yeah, but better safe than sorry.
Kenta successfully retained his United States Championship rights certificate, beating Kojima in what I thought was an excellent match.
Yeah, good stuff.
Cozy Lariat looking great. I'm pretty sure this is probably his last match at the Tokyo Dome.
I don't think I watched that match. Matt, when I went to watch on New Japan World, they didn't have the show. At least I didn't see it. Like it was like you had to watch it in like matches.
Yeah, it was weird when the show was over, they hadn't put the whole thing back up in replay yet. So what they were doing was it was like match by match. Like yes, and a lot of the shit, at least from the beginning, was out of order. But yeah, you're right. At some point though, they did put up the full show all in one shot. But yeah, like for the most part,
I tried to watch it today and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the full show in American commentary, so I just had to go like match by match. But I didn't see. I don't think I saw the Kenta one.
Yeah, Kenta match was good, and then post. No, pre-match, there was a nice little vignette from Mr. John Moxley.
See, I didn't see that because I was watching it in pieces at that point. But yeah, I had saw that came up later. So what's the deal? He said he is coming back and he's going to defend against Kenta.
He's still the U.S. champion. He was in the L.A. dojo, and he's going to defend the championship. It's just a matter of when and where, essentially.
Don't you think Don't you think they've given him too much courtesy? They should have just taken the belt from him by now.
Well, they talked about it last night on the show because of everything that's going on. That briefcase that Kenta's walking around with is essentially an interim championship, you know?
Ooh, maybe they have a double belt ladder match like WrestleMania 10.
He's been defending the certificate. You know, obviously, our guest tonight, Brody King, wrestled for it on New Japan Strong a couple weeks ago when he defended against Kojima. And, you know, we'll see. But those two were on a collision course, and that's pretty fucking exciting.
Tanahashi
beat the great Okan. I thought this was a good match. I thought Okan did really well here. This is a tough position.
He did in certain spots. Other spots, I think they were a little slop. There were a few points where they were like miscommunicating. But yeah, and like the more I thought about it, like as the match was going on, I'm like I said earlier, I was okay with Tanahashi winning this thing. Maybe Great Okan just wasn't ready and it wasn't something I was thinking about, but he is on the precipice of reaching that next level. And I think even in a loss to Tanahashi, it still did him favors because, like I said, a couple slops here and there, but it was still a good match and they pulled off some good shit. So,
yeah, and it's not you're not losing to, with all due respect to Gabriel Kidd, you're losing to fucking Tanahashi.
You bite your tongue.
He's still a young lion, Kevin. I'm sorry.
And fucking Tanahashi's hair was a fucking 10.0.
Oh, the worst fucking hair in all.
Worst. He had the greatest fucking hair last night. Unbelievable. The hair game was on point. I'd put it over Brian Pillman's hair any day of the year. His hair was amazing.
His hair was awful.
Amazing.
So Tanahashi with the win over Great Okan. I'm with Tony, though. I do think Okan is a huge part in the future of New Japan. It'll be interesting to see what they do. And if it's done right, losses are not going to hurt these guys. You know, you're losing to Tanahashi at the biggest stage in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So it'll be fun. You know, they do night two tonight and then New Year's Dash. And that kind of kicks off where they're going with 2021 and what the big feuds are going to be. Okada defeats Will Ospreay in a fucking awesome match.
Sick match. When Ospreay dropped Okada on the table out in the fucking stands, the look on Okada's face was like when Masato Tanaka fucking took that powerbomb over the top rope at One Night Stand 2, and he looked like he fucking shit himself. It was fucking great. Unbelievable stuff.
Look, Kenta Kojima was good. Tanahashi Okan was good. But we were at like 5 o'clock, 5:15, and I was like getting there, man. And then this match fucking, it picked me right up, man. That fucking ending sequence. Woo! And then Okada, I guess he was sweaty. He almost fucking dropped Ospreay on his head before he hit the Rainmaker for the win, but awesome showing by both guys. You couldn't go wrong with whoever won this match. It'll be interesting to see where Okada goes from here, because all of 2020, he was not in the IWGP Heavyweight Championship picture.
Yeah.
Maybe he
creeps back in. Maybe he becomes the next guy to take on Ibushi.
They talked about it last night. It seemed like the winner of this match was going to set themselves up to be the next guy. So, or the next challenger, maybe a new beginnings. I don't know. We'll see. The main event, Naito defends both titles, the IC title and the heavyweight championship against Tony's golden lover, fuckboy, Kota Ibushi.
What?
Very nice.
Awesome. Awesome match. These guys fucking put it all out there. It's funny, Tony, you sent that text yesterday with your picks, and then you sent that question about a three-way dance, and I was like, God, I hope not. I really hope not. Just because they don't do three-way dance as well. It's not...
No, I get it. I didn't know if that was outside the realm of any kind of possibility. You know?
You think that's going to happen tonight?
No, because we had a clear winner tonight, but Tony had mentioned it yesterday in the text, like, what if they went to 60 minutes and then you had to have a three-way dance?
Oof, ah.
But Ibushi walks out, double champions, in a little over 30 minutes.
A little over. It was like 45, wasn't it?
No. It's 31 minutes and 18 seconds.
There you go.
And after Kamigoya, he is your IWGP double champion. And he defends against Jay White this evening. If you're listening live, if you're listening in podcast form, it probably already happened. Do you guys want to make our picks? Can I go down the card here?
Yes. Hold on. What?
No, because I gotta. Yeah. All right. Yeah, go down the card, I guess. I wasn't ready for this.
All right.
Do you need a few minutes? Do we want to revisit?
No, let's do it. Let's ride.
All right.
It's time for the pay-per-view pick extravaganza thing. Night 2, Wrestle Kingdom 15.
All right, Matt, what we got?
Same amount of matches as last night. There's only 6.
Yes.
And we knew 2 of them at the end of last night. Well, we knew all of them. We knew 3 at the end of last night. We'll start with our 4-way match for the Provisional King of Pro Wrestling 2021 trophy between Chase Owens, Bad Luck Fale, Toriano, and Bushi. I will go first. I think Chase Owens pulls a shitty and he walks out of here the chicken shit King of Pro Wrestling champion to start 2021.
Who did Brody pick?
He picked Bushi.
I think I'm gonna go with Bushi. I don't know why, because like Chase Owens was who I initially thought, but like New Japan always finds a way to screw with my head, and I feel like this is like the pick that's gonna screw with my head, and I have no chance of winning this year anyway. So I'm going Bush Alouche.
Bush Alouche. T Donk.
Y-A-N-O, I'm going with my man, Y-A-N-O-O.
All right, so Tony
took Tori. Fucking Yano, man, he's going to do it. Come on, why would you take this off of him? Let the fucking roller coaster keep on going, baby.
What do you mean, why would you? You're not taking anything off of him. 2020 ended. He was the champion for 2020. Now it's
and he's going to have 2 trophies. He's going to be fucking 2-time trophy winning fucking Yano Hart.
All right, fair enough. Next up, we have our IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships as Suzuki-Gun, El Desperado, and Kanemura defend the titles against 1 or 8, the tag team of Taguchi and Master Wado.
Can I go first?
Tony, I kind of want to go first.
All right, go ahead.
Just because I'm channeling you here. I'm putting all my faith in the Wad Man. The Wad Man do. So I'm going with whatever his team is.
1 or 8.
Yeah. Going with 1 or 8. Wado and
Taguchi. Tony?
I am not going to say Desperado. I'm going to say Desperado. Champs retain.
Really? Well, I am with Kevin. I like Master Wado and Taguchi. I think it's Wado's time. I think putting with Taguchi is an excellent start. Wado walks out with some gold, baby.
Never happening.
You're talking about never happening. The Never Openweight Championship is on the line next as Shingo defends his title against Jeff Cobb. T-Donk.
Hula, 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 pineapple man. He's going to win it again. Hula, hula, hula.
I'm with
Jeff Cobb. Love the man.
I said during our interview with Brody King, I'm with you. I think Hula Hula the Pineapple Man takes the title off of Shingo.
Let's make it a clean sweep.
Woo, woo. Bring him around, baby. Bring him around.
All right. Our next match is the match that's going to infuriate me when I watch this. And I won't watch it live. I don't think I'm going to watch it live because I do have to work all day tomorrow. So I think it'll be at the tomorrow night I'll end up watching this. Evil against Sonata. I love Sonata, but he never fucking wins. I hate Evil. I just don't. This is going to be like outside interference extravaganza. I'm going with Sonata.
I'm going Sonata too. Sonata.
Same.
Sonata all around. Around the bases, baby. We're bringing them home.
Our semi-main event is for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship as Taji Ishimori defends against Hiromu Takahashi.
Kev, you want to go first?
I guess it's my turn to go first, huh?
It doesn't matter.
What's Hiromu versus
Taji Ishimori?
Taji Ishimori.
Hiromu won last night. I'll go Hiromu.
To Romu.
Hiromu across the board. I think.
Ring it around the bases, baby. Woo!
I think the Hiromu pushes on. He beat El Fantasmo. I think what he did at Best of the Super Juniors, where he wants to give the Super Juniors shots, means that when he is the victor, I think we'll see another El Desperado Hiromu match, which is fucking awesome. And him against Sho, sign me up. Let's do it, baby. Come on. Our main event, King Switch goes after the double championship against Kota Ibushi. I said it during our interview. I think Kota Ibushi avenges himself and erases last year's Wrestle Kingdom and his 0-3 record against Jay White this year. I think Kota retains, and we're off to the races with 2021.
Completely 100% agree with that. This is Kota Ibushi's year. No way he loses tomorrow, tonight, or whenever, in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever it is. Kevin's going Jay White. Going to try to make a move here, and he's going to think, like, by taking Jay White, he's going to be on the big comeback trail. Kevin was in this spot last year. It sucks.
It's not about the comeback trail. It's just about not knowing enough about New Japan and them always, like, doing me wrong in situations like this. After watching, I loved, at the end of the match, I loved the story. I mean, they always do it. Someone always comes out and talks after the main event. But I loved the night, neither one of them knowing what the heck happened at the end of the match. Like, Ibushi, like, knocked out, trying to go for a pin again. And then Naito bringing the belts up. And it was just, Ibushi having it was just too good to be true for me. And, like, and Matt, didn't you always think that Jay White at some point was going to have this moment?
I did. But I just think the story here is Ibushi avenging his both losses at Wrestle Kingdom last year and not being successful against Jay White all year. I think this is the feel good, send everyone home happy. And then it creates a different dynamic with your IWGP double champion, with Kota as the champion, Kota Ospreay, Kota Shingo.
Ospreay just lost.
Sure. But what is Ospreay? What do we do? You know, do we instantly jump into Kota and Okada? You know, there's so many stories they can tell, and we've seen them play the long game. Naito winning the double championship last year was something he had predicted years ago. And when he was given the opportunity, there was a fan vote, and the fan vote took him out of that match.
Didn't Naito lose it to Evil, and then he got it right back?
Yes.
So, listen, I think this, I'm going to be wrong, but I think this is too good to be true. And they're going to Vince Russo swerve, bro. I'm going Jay White.
All right.
Again, I don't know anything about New Japan, so this is completely out of my wheelhouse, but I just see it happening. And then, in American in wrestling, we always the story is in the chase, but I mean, Kota's been chasing it forever, so it's kind of hypocritical. Yeah, but what's the point of keep shoving Jay White down our throat if he's not going to get it? So,
it's to build Ibushi up. Look at what happened. When Naito said, yeah, Ibushi got screwed, so I'm going to give him the first title shot. And then the winner could go on to give Jay White what he earned. That put Ibushi over. And now Jay White comes out. And he's like, yeah, enjoy it while it lasts. That's putting Ibushi over as well because he's going to shut his face up tomorrow.
Yeah, but who's the bigger star?
Ibushi.
So how is Ibushi, like, getting built up higher on a guy that he's already hired then.
Jay White's got that little fuck that hangs around ringside with him who's always cheating for him and interfering with him. And when fucking Ibushi puts him in his place or returning Kenny Omega kicks him in the dick and knocks him over.
I think now I'm actually even more confident in this pick.
Well, I think there's a lot that plays into this. I think with the Jay White situation and him maybe losing, it could be a situation where he says to Gato, I got this. I can do this by myself. And then he goes out and he loses. And then you slowly start to see the Bullet Club baby fracture. Babyface Jay White? I don't know. I don't know. But Jado's always good. Look, the booking is always done well in New Japan. So the beauty of it is you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. We all thought Ibushi was walking out last year as the champion, right?
That's true. And I feel like you got at some point, like you got to have a sustainable heel champion in New Japan, right? Like they tried it with Evil for whatever reason, it didn't work. Maybe Jay White is the bad guy champ that they need and they wanted for a while. And I just think they're going to pull the trigger. I think it's going to be a bang, 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 switcherooski.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. See you next week when I'm wrong.
You know, what's going to be great. When Desperado and Kanemaru retain the titles and then fucking Chase Owens winds up winning that fucking Yano Battle Royal thing.
Oh, God.
Why?
Because then it's going to keep us in the same fucking position going into the last pay-per-view.
Matt, who have been the last, like, four New Japan, whatever, world champion or double champion, whatever it's been? It's been Naito, Okada, Evil, not in no particular order, and who else? Is there like another one?
Jay White. Like that?
Oh, Jay White was a champion, wasn't he?
Yeah, saw
Jay
him.
White was
double champion, no.
But he was.
The only champion. Double champions that we've seen is Naito, Evil, and Ibushi.
Yeah, and Ibushi.
I forgot that Jay White was already a champion. I kind of throws a monkey wrench into my...
We watched Jay White lose at the Garden like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
To Okada.
Son of a bitch. I'm sticking with it. Jay White.
And that fucking Will Ospreay did the fucking Rainmaker pose too, that son of a bitch. He got what he deserved, and fucking Okada was yelling at him, get your ass up.
I don't think, and you know what? You put Ibushi as the babyface, and Ospreay fills that role in very nice.
Ooh, Ospreay.
Yeah, but Ospreay, like, I guess New Japan it just works differently than anything that I've ever known before. Because then why not have Ospreay beat Okada? Like, nothing would make him more believable as a challenger than beating Okada. Like, why did
Okada next? Ibushi's got to get all these big profile wins. That's what it is.
You're going to rush right into Okada?
Fuck yeah.
No, they're not going to. They'll go New Year's Dash, and then you'll probably see
Yoshitatsu.
No. Yoshitatsu's in All Japan, I think, actually.
Yoshihashi was in the Battle Royal last night.
The Gun Club, Billy Gunn.
You could see Big Tom.
Big Tom was in the Battle Royal.
Big Tom's not
doing...
Yeah,
but he got...
What?
He got disposed of with that's all right. This is money. Billy Gunn, Okada.
Oh,
or
fuck.
Billy Gunn,
imagine
Ibushi.
This music, and he's shaking his ass coming down that fucking big ramp.
Matt, this is Billy Gunn. Ibushi is that's Tokyo.
That's where the money is.
That's Kukyurin Hall, whatever it's called. That's Cheez-It Hall, the Cheez-It Dome, the Bugle Barn.
They do this shit at the Egg Dome, baby. Is the Egg Dome still a thing?
Maybe.
Matt is lounging. Look at him with his laid back.
Oh, yeah. I like
him. I can barely see you.
You don't need to see me. You just need to hear me, right? move the laptop.
He's an ass man.
There we go. I like the couch in here. This is like my little room now.
You're like Kate the Great sitting on the ground floor.
That's how I roll, baby.
That's right.
I'm gonna get comfortable now too.
Fuck. All right. So the couple things take
waffle legs.
Oh my God! You're gross bare legs. They're like unbreaded chicken wings.
Delicious. They also announced last night during.
No, you want to see something gross?
Nope. 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 I know exactly what you're gonna do.
Oh God!
I already did it. I like this. This is like a boudoir photo.
Yeah. They announced last night during intermission that New Japan will be coming to American TV.
Coming to America. Take us to Queens.
So obviously not Axis, but a lot of people are speculating BN Sports.
It's not BN like French. It's BN Sports.
No, BN Sports?
BN. Oui, oui. Oh, oh, oh. BN Sports.
Wait, it's not BN Sports?
It's BN. BEIN.
I really thought it was. Like, I thought it was a Spanish channel for a while.
Es muy bien. Es muy bien Sports. Esportos muy bien.
It is, right?
Yes, whatever.
I thought it was BN Sports.
Yeah, me too.
Your boy Dave Meltzer put out a list of his 5-star matches from 2020.
Whose boy?
My boy? Tony's boy? Kevin's boy is Mike Johnson, and he don't write anything that's accurate. So
Dave Scherer is my boy. Mike Johnson is.
Mike Johnson's a creep. So these were the 5-star matches and above in 2020. Okada, Naito from last year's Wrestle Kingdom. Best Friends against Santana and Ortiz in the parking lot fight.
Okay.
All right.
Shingo Takagi versus Will Ospreay from the G1 Climax.
Okay.
Walter versus Dragunov.
Yes.
From Pro Wrestling Noah.
Tony laughed when he said Dragunov.
From Pro Wrestling Noah, the GSC champion Go Shiozaki against Takahashi Segura.
Yeah, that's right.
Hiromu versus Ospreay from last year got 5.5 stars.
There you go.
Okada versus Ibushi from last year got 5.5 stars. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega against the Bucks got 6 stars. Kota Ibushi versus Minoru Suzuki from the G1 Climax got 5.25. Okada Shingo from the G1 Climax got 5.25, and the Young Bucks FTR got 5.25. So those are all your 5-star Dave Meltzer matches from 2020.
Handing out those 5-pluses pretty loosely.
That's a lot of 5-pluses.
Not loosely in terms of the matches aren't worth it, but I've never heard him give more than 5 stars.
Yeah, me either. It must be a new thing he does. Let's see, what else do we got here in the news and the notes? Mick Foley had COVID.
Yep.
Back in December.
Yep.
So there's that. Game Changer Wrestling is going to run a 24-hour digital telethon, where they're going to raise money for their performers. It's going to be called Fight Forever. And that's taking place January 29th from 8 p.m. to January 30th, 8 p.m. So there's that.
Yep.
Your boy Walter will be defending his UK championship against A Kid.
Not Gabe Kid?
No, A, like Apple. A Kid. I don't know who A Kid is because I don't watch NXT UK.
It's Nicholas.
Oh, former WWF Tag Team Champion.
Why not? He wants more gold.
NXT is bringing back the Dusty Rhodes Classic for 2021, and that will begin January 13th. I think this week is New Year's Evil.
Begin that.
Which is Finn against Kyle O'Reilly. There's like a weird fight pit match.
Yeah, Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa in a fight pit.
Rhea Ripley, Gonzalez in a Last Woman Standing match?
I think it's...
Would you consider that like a Hossett match?
A Kenny Hossett match?
Ooh.
Hossett, maybe.
Yeah, you know, like female horses?
No, I gotcha. I just don't know. You call them hossets?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you call them hosses? Isn't that like, I don't know, like derogatory or like, I don't know, mean to call a woman a hoss?
No, but I mean, you call like tough dudes hosses.
Yeah, but you call women like hossets, no?
I see what you're saying. That's not derogatory then.
Yeah, I figured at least, look, if you're going to call a woman big and beefy, you might as well kind of make it cute, no?
Big and beefy. You know what? I'd prefer if you called her big and beefy.
You'd prefer them. You prefer to me to call them big. Yeah, and
now you made it.
I'm saying it's better than calling that. Ah, come on, whatever.
No, I'd say big and beefy. I would watch if there was a wrestling promotion called Big and Beefy Women's Wrestling. I'd be all in.
No, it's Triple B, Big Beefy Bitches. That's what you call it.
Yeah, see, I don't think the bitches is good for advertising.
Well, what do you think? You think they're nice if they're big and beefy? No, they're probably bitches.
No,
probably
but you leave that up to the consumer to decide.
Like Mount Fuji was probably the only nice big woman that I can remember. Every other big woman has been a bitch, right? Look at all the big look at all the big women that have been in wrestling. They've all been on the bad side of things. No.
Well, that's what you do. You take a page out of Mia Yim's book and call them big beefy baddies instead of.
Nah,
big PC.
That's not sexy. It's kind of like
Now, what are we going? Are we going for sexy? Or are we going for big, bad? Wait, what do we call big beefy?
Big beefy bitches.
Booty, I mean, what are we going for here?
I'm gonna call them big booty bitches. Wait, I think I have music for that.
No, don't even bother. Onward. Impact Wrestling announced their end of the year awards.
Oh.
All right, this works though. No, you're good. That's good that's award music. Your X Division Star of the Year. Any guesses?
Oh, Raheem.
Incorrect.
Chris Bay?
Incorrect.
Thick Mama Pump.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Tony.
DJ Perkins?
No, Ace Austin.
All right. That works. I got big booty bitches.
Your tag team of the year, the North.
That's no surprise.
The knockout of the year, Deonna Purrazzo. The wrestler of the year, Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. Really?
Yes, really.
I didn't think she was anything special. Come on now.
She had great matches. She had a probably match of the year thing with the... Was it with Jordan Grace or was it with...
Oh, what are we just... What are we just throwing Tessa Blanchard out the window? She doesn't count for anything?
Jordan.
Tessa Blanchard was there. She won the title and then she left the company.
Was she there for the majority of 2020?
Who? Who, Kevin?
Tessa Blanchard.
No, she wrestled, won the title. She was on TV for a little while. I think she had a match with Madman Fulton.
Yeah, she was gone like...
And then she was gone when the pandemic started.
Yeah, exactly. She was gone pre-pandemic. So, yeah, she doesn't deserve it.
No, she was there for 2 months. Yeah. Your finishing move of the year, the Good Brothers Magic Killer.
All right. That's a good move.
The one to watch in 2021.
Ooh, let me try to guess this. That's got to be Chris Bay.
You are correct, sir.
Dang.
Moment of the year. The Motor City Machine Guns, Eric Young, and EC3. The Good Brothers and Heath Slater all debut at Slammiversary.
Was second place to Brian Myers. Debut.
Well, there's no second place here. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know, you guys, I wanted to call you out for something you forgot to mention on Wednesday. There was a picture of Brian Myers and Matt Cardona with Brody Lee in the tribute. Nobody brought it up.
Okay. There's a ton of pictures.
Yeah. Why would they bring it up?
I thought that was cool as shit, though.
They had a lot of, there's pictures of him and Bray Wyatt and pictures of him and Seth Rollins. And
I know, but Kev, those are your boys.
Yeah, but
why would I bring that up, Tony? I'm not like you.
Boys.
Say good night, Gracie. I have to cover everybody's ass. My name's Tony. You fucking hand job. Fuck off. Yeah, look at you over there like you're in a fucking siesta, you fucking jack wagon.
I am in a siesta. You're talking about fucking Impact and Deonna Purrazzo being like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I didn't vote on it, you dickhead. The match of the year. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut your mouth.
Fuck Jay White.
Fuck you. Fuck Ibushi.
He's a fucking loser. He's going to fucking lose again, fucking loser.
I hope Ibushi gets a piece of raw horse stuck in his throat and he can't fight tonight.
Who did we talk to about raw horse?
Lance Archer.
That triggered a memory.
If you want to ride.
Lance Archer.
That's right.
Match
of serious.
Jesus Christ. Match of the year was Eddie Edwards defeating Eric Young, Rich Swann, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel in a five-way match for the vacant Impact World Championship at Slammiversary. The build to Hard to Kill continues as Impact returns tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers will appear. Sammy Callahan takes on Eddie Edwards. Moose takes on Matthew Palmer in a last 3 minutes challenge match. Rhino and Cousin Jake take on Joe Doring and Eric Young.
Is that Genesis or is that Hard to Kill?
No, this is Impact tomorrow night.
Impact, that's what I meant. Yeah.
And then KC Navarro takes on Crazy Steve, takes on Blake Christian, takes on Ace Austin in a preview of, I guess they're doing the World Cup thing at Genesis.
Yeah, the Super X Cup, all the first round matches will be will be on Genesis this Saturday night.
And they announced that Deonna is defending her women's championship against Taya Valkyrie at Hard to Kill.
Wow. Hi, Nelly. They announced that already?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, they did. Now, my favorite part of the night is when we talk about WWE.
Yay!
Looks like AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, Daniel Bryan all confirmed for the 2021 Men's Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
All right. On the women's side, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Charlotte, they've all confirmed themselves for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Tell me more.
Big E's first Intercontinental Championship defense will be against Apollo Crews this coming Friday night on SmackDown.
That would be a I thought he had a match with Baron Corbin.
That was a tag match.
Doesn't matter.
Did they change it? Because his first title defense was supposed to be against Baron Corbin.
Faced off, but then Sami Zayn interfered, so Apollo Crews came down and made the save and then turned into a tag match. You know, typical WWE bullshit. Here's the biggest WWE thing ever, and it happened last Monday night on Raw. The Miz got his briefcase back.
Then they danced the night away, him and John Morrison.
I have nothing to say about this, but it's WWE booking at its finest and way to devalue a briefcase.
That dummy, yeah.
That he cashed in and he lost.
Ligamables.
Exactly.
Ah, no, he earned it back. He earned it back. Because it can only be cashed in by him. Morrison cashed it in. That's not allowed, Matt. That's against the rules.
Semantics, Kevin. Semantics.
I'm just dick and twist it.
All right, well, semantics are semantics. You could still rule.
You honestly can't be genuinely excited about this, Kevin.
I'm excited that the missile has the briefcase.
You don't even watch.
Because we do the podcast on Mondays.
Did you just burp?
Yeah.
It's on repeat. I don't want it to be on repeat.
All right, so that's WWE in a nutshell. It's Legends Night tonight. I don't know if you're into watching a bunch of fucking wrinkly old men do nothing.
And Tori Wilson, who is more wrinkly or an old man.
But you could just fucking Google image search Tori Wilson.
That's a very good point.
God damn it, Nelly.
Nelly's going to be there?
Nelly's everywhere. She's everywhere. Let's see. Dark, AEW moved everything because of the Brody Lee tribute last week. So the first night of AEW New Year Smash takes place Wednesday night. Kenny Omega against Rey Fénix, John Moxley in the house, Sheeta versus Abaddon, Jake Hager versus Wardlow, Snoop Dogg and Chris Jericho on commentary, Cody against Matt Sydal. I think they announced SCU and the Young Bucks against the Acclaim and TH2 as well. So loaded card there, and that's taking place this Wednesday night. The week after, they added Pac against Eddie Kingston, Britt Baker against Thunder Rosa, Darby Allin, Brian Cage, FTR against Jurassic Express, and Miro against Chuck Taylor.
Miko?
Miro.
Miro.
Polo.
Also, fun note, Dark taking place tomorrow night. Good friend of the show, Danny Limelight, will be in a match against Fuego del Sol. So both of these guys have essentially been prelim guys up until this point. One of them has to get a win. So we've seen them do this with Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., where they make, so maybe this is a stepping stone for one of these guys. Fingers crossed that it's Danny Limelight, because I really like Danny, and I think this will be a nice opportunity for him to shine.
Shine the limelight.
That's all the notes I have here.
Great, great episode of the Brody tribute was absolutely incredible, by the way. I didn't get a chance to talk about that because, again, Tony, I'm not on the Wednesday show.
I didn't say you were. I just thought it was very inappropriate that Matt didn't bring up your boys. You know, a little shout out.
Why would I bring them up?
It makes no sense for him to do that.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
You say my boys were in the tribute. That was cool.
They're not my boys.
They're our boys because they're Kevin's boys. Why would you not do a solid?
Brian Myers maybe could be my boy. Maybe. Right? I've reached out because I don't know. I've reached out to him before about like action figure questions and stuff. I don't know if he would reciprocate to me. To Kevin, yes. Kevin is boys with Brian Myers. So Brian Myers, yes. Matt Cardona probably wouldn't even piss on me if I was on fire.
Probably not.
I don't. What is that?
It's a Matt Cardona hat.
Why?
Because that's his boy.
All right. Anyway, Tony, you're an idiot.
Anyway,
I'm not an idiot because I watched Be the Elite this week. Be Elite.
No, you're an idiot because why would I shout out?
All right, get off it. You fucking. I'm an idiot.
You're the Great. Idiot that brought it up.
Great. I'm an idiot. I'm a friggin' idiot. Can we move on, please?
No. Now we're stuck in this vortex forever.
Let's do it, Matt. Let's have a social. Tony Wizards.
Tony drank too. Now he's borderline fucking drunk or ready to go to sleep.
Good night.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night.
Fucking
we're not doing
up.
That again, by the way, Tony. You're not saying that to me.
He's going to say it. You know he's going to say it. Don't tell him not to do something because he's just going to do it.
Yeah, Ken, that was a pretty stupid fucking question.
All right, so Tony watched Being the Elite, as did I.
They had a little bit of the behind
bubbly
the of the tribute show for Brody and Eddie Kingston cutting a huge promo, like, let's move on, let's do this together, all that good stuff, rallying the troops. It's hard to think, like, and like to understand that Eddie Kingston was ready to leave the business a year ago, and now he's found this amazing spot for himself as part of AEW, where he is like that locker room leader.
Yeah,
which is really cool. Oh, and the other thing that was cool was they side by sided Brody Lee kicking some jobber's head off in Chikara at the beginning of a match. And I didn't notice it at the time, but Evil Uno opened the 6-man match when he did the same thing to Eddie Kingston, which I thought was fucking amazing. That was good shit.
I didn't see his speech, but just the fact that Eddie Kingston can come into a locker room. Let's be honest. He hasn't been there that long.
No, not at all.
So the fact that he can come in and command that respect immediately and just cut, like, his tenure in the business obviously speaks for itself, but just the fact that he can go into a locker room and be that guy to, like you said, Tony, lead the charge, lead the troops, and just make a powerful statement about Brody, who he knew, this is Brody Lee, not our guest earlier, but make that statement about Brody Lee and just can be completely ingrained in that fiber. And listen, no one deserves this more than Eddie Kingston. No one deserves what he's gotten. No one deserves what he's done in AEW more than him. So it was really cool.
It was earlier in our tenure on the show, and we had Eddie Kingston on as a guest
And he was a funny guest, dude. We talked to him about New York sports. We were talking about like the local scene where like he lives and where he likes to hang out, and about his ethnicity, his, and you know, all that good stuff. So we really got to know him on a personal level. And like, that's still one of the standout interviews of our show. What a great guy.
Top five.
Absolutely. One of the other thing that was cool was, which was fucking hysterical, was Johnny Silver defending the BTE championship against Marco Stunt. And it was like, kick the lid off the bottle and fucking Johnny Silver nails it on the first kick.
Yeah.
And that was it. It wasn't fucking 45 minutes of sped up tape of them trying to get to the finale. It was like, done. That was it. You suck.
God, those, both of them. John Silver is going to be, I mean, he's already a, like his tweets and stuff get like thousands of likes and thousands of, and hundreds of like retweets. He's going to be a big star, and he's already a big star, but he's going to be one to watch. I wouldn't be shocked actually if they ended up, you know, because we got to keep remembering like AEW is a company just like anyone else where they have to evolve and do things different, where the Dark Order is not going to last forever. So can you see John Silver, you know, maybe doing something with Marco Stunt, maybe like being like a regular type deal, or do you see John Silver even going like top guy status with AEW?
I don't know, but I think one of the big telling moments though of BTE was when the Dark Order was all in their office and they were all just sitting around in a circle with their heads down. Even Anna Jay was sitting in the circle with them, not like on the top bench. And then Adam Page just walks in. He's like, hey, do you mind if I sit with you guys? And they all just kind of motion a chair for him. And they all sat together. It's going to, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the Dark Order. I don't know if Adam Page is going to be the right fit. I don't know if Colt Cabana steps up. Does John Silver set up, like step up and become the leader? I just don't know. But it was a cool moment where they were all just kind of somber, and Adam Page comes in and sits with them. I thought that was cool for what it was. I don't know what it leads to, but it was a cool moment.
I don't want Hangman to be the leader of the Dark Order.
I don't know if I don't think I do either. I just don't know where they go. Maybe they don't need a leader at this point.
I mean, Evil Uno did a decent enough job before Brody got there.
Maybe they do sign Redbeard. I don't know.
I could see that.
It's a possibility. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's about that.
That was, excuse me. That was being the elite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, you got a top five list?
Oh, do I? Do I? Do I? Do I?
Oh, you know what? While you pull that up, Ring of Honor came to terms with the release of Marty Scurll today.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tony.
Do your balls ever feel unfresh?
Ooh.
You know what?
I mean really unfresh. Like, smelt like you had fucking some smashed onion stuff down your pants all day. Got like a fucking froth and like a soup going.
I've been there, buddy. Working on the pizza truck, it happens, brother.
All right, so you're on the pizza truck. Do you ever have the opportunity to go, hey, I'm going to go grab a shower. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Put your balls up on the sink and wash them off. You don't have time for that. You got pizzas to serve, right?
That is correct, sir.
You know what you do?
What do I do?
You get yourself a fucking crop wipe. You fucking wipe your balls down. You're good to go. You don't need a shower. You could just let them fucking onions drop out and say, see you later. Hit the bricks, bitch. I need fresh balls, and now I got them. You know, wow. You can find those wipes?
Where?
Over at manscaped.com, baby. And right now, I know what you're thinking. Tony, I want fresh balls. They're a little stinky, smelly. Sometimes I don't have time to wash them. These wipes, they've got to be like millions of dollars, right? No, sir. They're not expensive at all. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you go to manscaped.com and you put in the code WIZARDS when you're checking out, you're going to save 20% on top of their already cheap prices. And it's not over yet. You're going to get free shipping. Free shipping. Your balls will be clean, and it's not going to cost you anything extra to fucking get that package in the mail. Matt, I see you're raising your hand.
Tony, is it does Manscaped just take care of your balls?
Matt, I'm glad you asked that question. Say you are home. Say your balls are smelling a little funky, right? They got shampoos. They got the wash. They got the wipes. You could fucking go in the shower, give yourself a good scrub down. You'd be smelling fresh as a daisy.
So you're telling me they have body wash?
They got body wash. And not only can you use it for your body, you could use it for your balls. You could use it for your butthole. You can even use it as a shampoo right here. See these little follicles that I still have left? They smell fucking fresh, dude.
Fantastic. I smell them. Fantastic.
Let me let you in on another secret.
Oh, you got secrets tonight.
You're going out. Say you got a wedding to go to. Or you're going out to hit the club. It's a Friday night. You're going to get your groove on. Maybe going to get some stank down low. You know what I'm saying? You washed up. You got your wipes in your pockets, so you're ready to go. You know what else they got now, Matt? They got the refined cologne. You got cologne, buddy. Spits, and you are fucking cool as a cucumber. You'll be beating off that poon with a fucking stick, bro.
Whoa!
I'm not even kidding. And I tell you this much. Maybe you're a little stanky down low because the odor lingers around because you got, let's be honest, you don't fucking groom down there, right? Well, don't worry about that. Of course, Manscaped. It's in the fucking name. You got the lawnmower. You got the fucking weed whacker. You could trim your nose hairs, your ear hairs, and your ball hairs. It's fucking great. It's a one-stop shop to get your sorry ass back up to par, back up to speed, and back in that poonanner. Like I said, you go over to the website, manscaped.com, 20% off your entire order, free shipping on everything, and you're fucking good to go. What else is there to say? Any questions, boys? I don't think so, because we got you covered.
Sounds like it. I got a question.
What's that, Matt?
What is on Kevin's top five list this week?
Ooh, that is a great question. I bet you it's not smelly balls.
All right, guys. Today's top five is very Manscaped related. It is the top five pair of awful balls in the history of professional wrestling. No, that's not it. But it's very very Royal Rumble related. We're in the Royal Rumble season. So we are going with top five worst entrants in Royal Rumble history.
All right, let me ask you a clarification question off the bat. This is any Rumble, men's, women's, and greatest Royal Rumbles of all time?
All included. And I will tell you there is one entry from two of the ones that you mentioned. Obviously, there's going to be more on the men's, but there are two entries, one from the women's, one from the greatest. So the rest are the men's. And again, this is just Kevon's opinion. So here we go. Who's going first?
I would like to take Michael Cole.
Matty boy, coming in hot, hitting number four. Michael Cole, Royal Rumble 2012. Ugh. Yep. Brutal. That was also the Rumble that saw all three commentators go in. Booker T, I think JBL was all, or no, Jerry Lawler.
Yep.
So, yes. So that's number four on the old listski. Michael Cole, 2012.
I'm trying to find this guy's name and I can't find
I know exactly who you're talking about, Tony.
Oh, man. I can't find his name on the list, and I don't want to be...
Tony, what Rumble is it from?
It is from the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Tony, I know who you're talking about.
It's not Mansoor, is it?
No. It's the Asian guy. What the hell was his name?
That would be Hiroki Sumi.
That's him.
He came in like one of the first... five or six entrants in the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Here he is, number seven. Number seven.
Because apparently the Saudi regime wanted Yokozuna, and Yokozuna had been dead
for
a very long time. So WWE brought in Hiroki Sumi. That's number two.
Yes!
Number two, wow. All right.
I'm sorry. Who was Matt's first guess?
Michael Cole.
Michael Cole. Was there ever a Royal Rumble with Santina Marella?
Matt, look at that. Matt going two for two. Santina Marella. Not only was there a Women's Royal Rumble with that, that was 2020. So Santina Marella is number three. So you're missing five
and one.
Five and one.
So does that count for the Women's Royal Rumble that you said?
That's the Women's Royal Rumble because it was in the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, number five, you might not think is terrible, but I'll have my reasons why it is not very good.
All right.
So it was Michael Cole.
It was a surprise. It was a return. It's a legend. And that's all I'll give you.
Surprise, return, legend. And you don't think they should be on the list?
No, they should be on the list. Only, and I'll tell you why after.
Oh, I got one. Drew Carey.
Tony, not only is that a legend, not only is that a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
That is number one.
Yes. Babatunde.
Babatunde
was also in the greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but I don't consider that a bad, because he's at least on their contract.
Yeah, well, that's why I went with the Asian guy.
Yeah. Drew Carey, 1999. Ugh.
All right, so we got one left.
No, wait, 2001. Yeah, 2001. So you have one left.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh, no way.
All right.
I'll throw it out there because I'm not thinking of anybody else. Diesel?
Nah, dude, that's a great return.
Okay.
Let's see.
A legend that returned.
It was his second Royal Rumble return in 3 years, which is why he's on the list, which made it less special. So I'll just throw that out there.
Jake?
No.
No,
That's a good guess, though.
Tony, you got one?
No, not yet.
DDP?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he came back 2 years in a row, did he?
No, they're not back-to-back years. He was in two Rumbles. All right, 4 years apart.
Thinking. Mm-hmm.
That fucking tub of shit, Hiroki Sumi. Fuck you.
That's right.
Rikishi?
No.
Tony, anytime you just want to yell a name out, that'd be great.
The Boogeyman?
No, that's a good one, though.
The Road Dogg.
No, but that's actually a good one when he came back later on.
JBL?
No.
Oh, God, was Hornswoggle in the Royal Rumble?
See, these are, that's a great one. And there's also Torito, who I thought of too.
That's what made me think of Hornswoggle. I saw Torito.
Yeah. But no. And this is a legend. This is a legit legend.
Is it Mick Foley?
No.
Ricky Steamboat.
No.
Tatanka.
Am I wrong about this?
Am I wrong?
I'm not wrong about the he would still make the list regardless whether I'm wrong about my statistics. But he's
Tommy Dreamer?
No. He's been in so many.
Honky Tonka Man.
Honky Tonk Man, is it?
Whoa!
Because he was in 2001 and he came out because Kane was on a roll. And he was in a rumble literally, if not the 99 or the 98 or the 97, he was in one of them. So that's why I was like, man, because I just went on a binge again watching the rumbles. I'm like, man, Honky Tonk Man is in another one? Like, come on, you could do better with surprises. So Honky Tonk Man is on the list at number five. So five Honky Tonk Man, four Michael Cole, three Santino Marella, two Hiroki Sumi, the legendary Hiroki Sumi, and number one, Drew Carey.
Drew Carey. Nice.
Ooh. There you go. All right, let me get the pen and paper out for this bad boy.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, boys,
I double check my stuff.
I just want to reiterate for you guys last week going through all 86 Intercontinental champions.
Oh yeah,
bravo! This week though, we're getting back to brass tacks. We're going back to can you beat that? I'm going to let you guys decide who wants first crack at the questions.
I will defer to Kevin.
All right, there you go.
Kevin, your two topics. Choose whichever one you want to go with first. We've got Most Mania, which has 17 answers. And we have Second Best Japan, which has 15 answers.
Most Mania?
Most Mania, 17 answers.
Has 17 answers. And what is, and Japan is another category.
Second so, best Japan has 15 possible answers.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to go with Most Mania.
Most Mania as it is, ladies and gentlemen. In the history of WrestleMania, there have been 17 wrestlers who have appeared in matches at least 10 times. Kevin, how many can you name?
Fucking Christ. No, it's just that's gonna take a while to think of. It's not a this would be a perfect back and forth.
No, these are good. These are good.
10 matches?
At least 10 matches. 10 matches or more at WrestleMania. Doom 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 doom. I like this theme music.
All right, well, I'll see. We're not going back and forth. All right, so I got to actually pick a number. I'll say 5.
Matt, Kevin says he can name 5. The question to you: can you beat that?
I can name 10.
Matt's bringing the heat already, jumping to 10 answers. Kevin, question back to you. Can you beat 10?
I'll go 11.
Matt, Kevin says he could do 11.
I have 13.
Matt has 13. Kevin, can you beat that?
You got 13 right off the top?
No, he said 10 first. Now he said 14.
That's true.
Unless he's lowballing you. Unless he's full of shit. But that's the
I mean, I, the only move for me is to go 17. So I'll go 17.
Whoa. I am in awe each and every week of the balls on both of you going through this. And like you fuck around for a few minutes and then one of you eventually just goes, fuck it. I'm just going to do the whole thing. I love it. I fucking
love it. I'm going to lose, but I'll probably lose. But I mean, if he can get 13 in his second response, then what am I going to do? I got to go. The only thing I can do is try for 17.
There's no guarantee that any of them are right.
Yeah, but this is – I feel like you were so confident that like
– I had a guess. I think Kevin's got easily 12 of these. Easily. Dude,
I don't know if I do, man. The blur is so real. Like the later years is so blurry. All right, I'll go.
Kevin, 17 men have wrestled in at least 10 WrestleMania matches.
Hogan
has wrestled in 12 matches. That's one.
Austin? Tell me I'm wrong right off the bat. That, you know what? I wasn't even thinking. Like that just came out of my mouth. That's not even what I don't even have it written down yet.
So why would you say?
I didn't do it. It wasn't me. something literally came into my head and just threw it out there. I have.
Oh my god.
I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9. I only have 9 written down, and Austin's not one of them.
Okay, I don't know why you would have said Austin, but give me the ones you did have.
Orton.
Orton is on the list. He's been in 16 matches.
Taker,
of course, 27 matches.
Kane.
Kane Kane's actually number three. He's been tied for third. He's in 17 matches.
Triple H.
Triple H, 23 matches. He's second overall.
Cena.
Cena, 15 matches, six overall. Well, tied for sixth.
So now I have to rethink the ones that Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is fourth on the list. Well, tied for third.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy, not on the list.
All right, so then I would have lost anyway.
Matt, who you got?
I got Big Show.
Big Show on the list.
I got Randy Savage.
Randy Savage on the list.
I got The Rock.
The Rock on the list.
I got The Hitman.
Bret Hart on the list.
I got Edge.
Edge on the list.
I have Jericho.
Jericho on the list.
Just because I've been watching 2001, I have Angle.
Kurt Angle on the list.
The last three I just kind of wrote down, and I don't know if they're right. Mysterio?
Mysterio on the list.
Because he's been so many different people, I wrote down JBL.
JBL on the list. You're missing one.
I complain about him constantly being in the main event, and that's the only reason why I wrote his name down. He's from the recent years. Brock Lesnar.
You fucking nailed it, my man.
Yes.
Wow.
No wow. Ziggler. No Ziggler, huh?
No Ziggler.
He's got to be right on the cusp, right? Like him and Christian.
I don't know. Right, I cut there. The list off at that point. Oh, okay. Keeping track of 17 guys was enough work for me. Yeah, Undertaker, of course, 27 matches, 25-2. Triple H, 23 matches, astonishingly 10-13. I think the next best record is John Cena at 10-5. Bret Hart also has a winning record, 8-6. Hogan's 8-3-1. Let me see. Rey Mysterio, 7-5. Edge, 7-4. Savage, 7-4. The Rock, 6-5. And I think that's the guys with winning records. Everybody else is losing records, including Shawn Michaels at 6-11.
Yeah, because he's a fucking loser.
Yeah.
There you go.
My mind doesn't work well for this game.
All right,
I'm surprised you went with Austin because Austin really didn't have that long of a career.
I swear to you, I didn't even think about it. It literally just flew out.
I mean, Austin had three matches with The Rock.
He had that match against
Shawn Michaels.
Against
maybe he had a
Hall.
Savio Vega match.
No, he had the match against Hall.
He did have a Savio Vega match.
At 12,
okay, so
right?
That's like six matches.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I'm telling you, it just literally it flew out. I probably wouldn't have gotten to 17 anyway because I just don't think my mind works this way.
Nelly.
So I would have lost anyway, but Austin just literally flew right out without even knowing it.
Well, this question is going to suck because this one goes to Matt. This one's called Second Best Japan. Matt, in the history of the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, 15 men have held said title. How many can you name?
That's it? Only 15?
Only 15.
Let me see here. Give me a minute here.
Sure. Take your time.
I see, right?
Intercontinental Championship.
Dolph Ziggler.
15. IWGP variety.
I'm going to start with five.
Kevin, Matt says he can name five.
Go for it.
Really?
I don't
You're
know.
You're not going to try to press him?
What do I know? I tried it last time and I lost it. That's my second guess.
Matt. You said you can name five of the 15 who have held the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Whenever you're ready.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nakamura is one.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Tanahashi is two.
MVP, the first.
MVP, the first guy, number three.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega makes four.
Jay White.
Jay White makes five. You want to keep going?
Naito?
Yes, Naito's on the list.
Ibushi?
Ibushi, number seven, current champion.
Jericho?
Jericho, number eight.
Suzuki?
Minoru Suzuki, number nine.
Hirooki Goto?
Number 10.
Michael Elgin?
Michael Elgin, number 11.
How many were there?
15.
Nelly, block his screen.
You're missing an easy one, dude. I'm sorry.
Evil.
There you go.
I'm missing just two?
Three. Three left. I don't know if you're going to get these. These are tough. One of them, you're for sure, I don't think you're going to get.
Nelly, stop.
Yeah.
No clue.
The last three, Masato Tanaka, who's actually a three-time champion.
So wait, so we're tied now then, right?
Yeah, except Matt has two and you have zero. That's a tie, isn't it?
I said I could name five.
He's
I
named, lost.
No, I said I could name five.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wow. And you're the one that doesn't have any sleep today, Matt. Jeez.
I don't have any sleep either. I'm doing laundry and going right to bed after this.
Masato Tanaka has actually held the title three times. Bad Luck Fale is also former champion. And I don't know who the fuck this is. Who the fuck is La Sombra?
That's Andrade.
Is it?
Yep.
All right. Andrade is a former IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Well, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys both need sleep.
I had a decent run at some point, but just my mind just does not function well for this game anymore.
Well, your winner for this week, 2-0, Mr. Matt.
You know,
let's give it up for him, ladies and gentlemen.
You know who he beat to win that title?
La Sombra?
Yeah.
Hiroki
Brock Lesnar?
No, Shinsuke. Nakamura.
Did he really?
Yeah, in January 2014?
Come on.
No, July. Wait. May 2013. Excuse me.
Wow.
Oh, I got to go find that. I bet you that's a really good match.
Sure it is.
Son of a gun.
All right, rock and roll.
I mean, were they too hard?
Or? No, I don't think so.
No, I'm just telling you, I just don't think. Maybe I'm tired, but Austin, before I even wrote it down, it literally just shot out of my mouth.
What? What? More than 10 WrestleManias. What?
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
All right.
And Jeff Hardy I got wrong too, so that's that's odd.
I don't know what else there is to say, boys. That's all I got. My tank is empty.
Well, we got a big week of wrestling coming up. Impact's back. AEW's back with a regular show. MLW's running a regular show this week. Ring of Honor ran a weird pandemic special. I guess they told people back in March when they were coming out for the anniversary show, if they were already out there, they could stay. If they hadn't left yet and got on their plane, to stay home. And then those who stayed, they recorded a bunch of matches, and that's what they showed this week on Ring of Honor TV. Hopefully next week we get back to the fallout from Final Battle. And I think our friend, our guest, Brody King, may have tipped his hat a little bit. And I think Nick Gage might be going to Ring of Honor. I'm going to say it right now.
Fuck Ring of Honor. Fuck the Shining
Wizard. Look, if you go back and you listen to that interview with Brody King and how he's calling out Gresham for being a hypocrite about Pure Rules and that Ring of Honor was built on the backs of the homicides, the necro butchers, what better way to shake the system than show up with fucking Nick Gage and just beat the ever-living dog shit out of everybody?
It looks like he's shitting, Vince.
Was he? Was he shitting?
It looks like he's shitting, Vince.
That's hysterical.
That came up in my YouTube feed today, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
It's pretty good.
It looks like he's shedding, Vince.
We'll be back next week with another super fun. Hey, stop eating the soundboard. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony.
Did you feed your cats?
Yeah, it's the bowl.
Why is it eating the soundboard?
Nellie's likes to stick her face on everything. She's crazy, right?
I guess.
There you go. Give it to him.
Is she giving us the butt?
She was giving you the butthole. Now she's trying to eat my pen. She's very rambunctious. Next week is Miko Maestro birthday extravaganza. If you want to win an AEW Kenny Omega figure, all you need to do, send us a screen cap or email us at wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Proof of purchase that you used our Wizards code at manscaped.com. Not only do you save 20% and you get free shipping and you get some below the belt care, but you also get a chance to win a Kenny Omega figure for all you figureheads out there. It's so easy. And you don't have to buy $100 worth of shit. You can just buy some mop crops. You could buy some foot duster.
Yeah.
As long as you use the code word of Wizards at checkout, you're going to save 20%. And then you get put into the January drawing for the Kenny Omega figure. It's that easy.
And the product is good. So if you need it, you're going to save some money and use something that you'll use for a long time.
And I'm telling you this, I'm not a cologne guy, but that refined cologne fucking smells fantastic.
It really does smell good.
Good stuff.
And also, if you're looking to maybe, you know, you got a couple extra shekels left over from the Christmas holiday, and you want to purchase a Shining Wizards t-shirt, Pro Wrestling Tees is doing another sale. You go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. And
that's it.
Put in the code New Year. I don't know what the fucking code is. What's the code?
I think it's New Year.
And you're going to see it. Just go to Pro. It's going to pop up when you go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Yeah. You just throw that code in. Boom. 20%. You get some Wizards t-shirt. You buy a Brody Lee t-shirt. You buy a Brody King t-shirt. You buy as many t-shirts as you want.
Just so you know, the donation earmarked products are not part of the sale. So if you buy something that's going to be donated to like Brody Lee's family, just be mindful you're not going to be able to use the coupon code for that. But you should still pick one up anyway. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying that. That's is treasure. Kevin calling?
Oh. All right. That's been an excellent show of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Special thanks to Brody King. Special thanks to Shining Wizards Kevin. Special thanks to Shining Wizards Tony. We, of course, are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on all social media platforms at Wizards Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Give us a follow, patreon.com/wizardspodcast for as little as $1 a month. You can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I'll be back Wednesday night with AEW Dynamite post show, which I think I did on Facebook last week, and I think it was a success. So continue to support the Shining Wizards Podcast, and we'll see you all next week for Miko Maestro's Bean Boozle Birthday Extravaganza.
Ah, that's marketing, baby.
Fuck Jay White.
Hey, it's not nice.
Good night, all.
I'm not going to say it.
Wow, really? I thought you were going to say it.
Oh, nope, not tonight.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
See you. And we're out.